Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
E1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Week 10 in the NFL kicked off last night in Denver. The Broncos made it 8 straight with a 10-7 win over the Raiders. Denver's defense sacked Geno Smith 6 times and picked him off once. Broncos are an NFL best 8-2 on the season. Week 10 continues Sunday morning in Germany. The Colts play the Falcons at 9:30. Sunday at 1, the Browns battle the Jets. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage Sunday morning at 11. In college football, number 1 Ohio State's a 30.5-point favorite. Buckeyes are at Purdue tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage Saturday morning at 7:30. In college hoops, Ohio State looks to improve to 2-0. Buckeyes will host Purdue Fort Wayne tonight at 6:30. We'll have that one on The Fan with coverage Friday night at 5:30. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan from BMI FCU and choose a loan amount from $1,000 to $5,000. See more information online at bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Baby, let's do a live on a Football Friday edition of the program. Bo, the boys with you for the next three, getting you set for the Buckeyes and the Boilermakers. 1 o'clock tomorrow over in West Lafayette. Tim will join at 10:30. Doug at 11:30. One of the themes of the show today is going to be, are there elimination games this weekend in college football that are on the docket? There might be one in Iowa tomorrow with the Ducks against the Hawkeyes, but our attention out of the gates centers on the game that we will be playing in West Lafayette. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was hopeful that the Bells would put me in a mood. And the Bells are undefeated. You're always going to hear the Bells and get a little bit of juice to you. This is a tough sell. It's a tough sell. This is a 1 o'clock game in West Lafayette. When 1 o'clock is a little hinky. It's just a weird start time now to have a 1 o'clock kick. I don't even know the last time Ohio State had a 1 o'clock kick. So 1 o'clock kick's a little bit weird. And this Purdue team just isn't any good. I mean, that's just it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. They're not any good. Ohio State is a 30.5-point favorite over a conference foe with 3 weeks to go in the season. That's the reality of where you're at here. And Drew Brees isn't walking through the door, and Rondale Moore's not walking through the door, and David Bell's not walking through the door, and Bob Greasy and everybody else. Nobody's walking through the door. There was a time that when you played Purdue, it had your attention. It had your attention. The two times in my lifetime where when you played Purdue, it had your attention involved two instances where I think Purdue had true geniuses as coaches. I think Joe Tiller was a true genius of college football. And I think what he did in his tenure at Purdue is one of the most impressive things that's been done in college football, maybe ever. Certainly in my lifetime, one of the most impressive things that's ever happened. Joe Tiller was hired from Wyoming to Purdue, and he looked at a conference that was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and he said, you know what? We're going to spin it. We're going to spin it. And I'm going to go get Texas quarterbacks because everybody down there is still running option, and they're still running 3 yards of cloud of dust too. And I'm going to go get Texas high school quarterbacks, and we're going to spread it, and we're going to spin it. And you got a kid named Drew Brees, And he wasn't the only one. There were others along that line. Curtis Painter, there was a lot of guys who came through who were pretty good players who played for Joe Tiller during his time. He was there from 97 to 98. I'm sorry, to 2008. In those 12 seasons as the head coach at Purdue, he had a winning record 10 times. 10 times. In fact, there was only three instances during that time where he was under 500 in Big Ten play. You're talking about 10 bowl games during that stretch. When Joe decides to step down after 2008, they hire a guy off his staff, Danny Hope, and it starts to fall off a little bit. Then Daryl Hazel, way it out over his skis. I was over there in 2014 when we played him over there. And by the way, I like Purdue. It's a cool campus. I love the stadium, the natural grass, all of it. I think it's cool. It's one of the places in Indiana that I tolerate. I think it's fine. But we were over there with Daryl, and I remember seeing a precocious defensive coordinator named Marcus Freeman and going like, man, how are you guys going to win here? Turns out Marcus is just east of there now and doing just fine for himself. You never would have thought that at that time. When Hazel got fired, though, they hired another who I consider a true coaching genius in Jeff Brohm. And when you luck into hiring a true coaching genius, this is the level of success you can have at Purdue. Joe Tiller hit the ceiling. Jeff Brohm hit the ceiling. He went 7-6, 6-7, 4-8, 2-4, 9-4, 8-6. Included in that stretch, of course, is a win against Ohio State, which we all remember. I still don't think anybody has tackled Rondale Moore. So those are the two instances where Purdue has been up to the task when they have genius coaches in my lifetime. And I think both those guys are that. This is not that. This is not that at all. This is a bad team. It's a really bad team, and it's a stretch of bad teams that Ohio State is going to play in the lead up to Michigan. And so as you watch tomorrow or you listen tomorrow, if you're driving around, a lot of youth sports really starting to pick up again, youth hoops, so many other things, and you're listening to Paul and Jim, how do you judge this? What does success look like for Ohio State? The old line, good teams win, great teams cover. Well, Ohio State covers almost every week. This is 30 and a half. Like, what does this need to look like? How do you judge this big of a mismatch? I mean, this is like a non-conference, we're paying you to come play at our place spread is what this is. And this is a conference game in November. Here's the beautiful thing about the Ohio State football program under Ryan Day. These games are not close. They're not scary. They're not anything to worry about. There hasn't been a game like this against an opponent that they were completely outmanned versus that you've had to sweat probably in his tenure. I can't think of one that you've had to sweat out. Most times they win, most times they cover. So for me, what I'm looking for tomorrow from this Buckeye team is what are the mottos of this show? Act accordingly. Bury them early. Play the kids. If you're talking about a season that where the games you're really going to matter are the one at the end of this month and the ones in December and January, then that's what this ought to be tomorrow. And it's weird that it's a conference game. And it's weird that you got two more that are going to be very similar to it in terms of the feel. Next week with UCLA here and the week after with Rutgers here. You got three in a row that are going to kind of have this feel. Now, I can sell you UCLA next week. I'll sell you that. Because I saw Nico come in here last year with Tennessee, and while they got bludgeoned, he was tough. And he battled. So I can sell you UCLA. I can sell you history. I can sell you uniforms. I can sell you things. I can't sell you this, man. I can't sell you this. This should be an absolute beatdown from the first whistle until mercifully it ends at the end of the game.
Yeah, this should be something similar. Looking at Julian Sain's stat line, 20 of 23, 316 yards. A couple more attempts. Maybe 100 more yards passing the ball, but you also get Lincoln Keenholz in there to run the full complement of Ohio State's offense.
I would think.
For me. I also did some digging.
You guys are funny.
The last time Ohio State played a game in the regular season against not Michigan that started in the 1 o'clock hour was in 1997. That was a 1:30 kick against Bowling Green.
Really?
1:30.
I'm looking at 01, 04, and 05. They played at 1 o'clock against Michigan. And then you've got 1 o'clock starts in bowl games. But that's it.
I'll be damned.
I didn't go any further than 1997. That was where I
started. Good enough. That's plenty good enough.
I do expect to see all of the backups in Lincoln Keenholz in the fourth quarter. I'd love to see it sooner, but I don't. There's just a track record here, right? Yeah. Where I don't think we're going to see that. This could be a game that's like 42-3, mm-hmm. and Ohio State doesn't even play good, right?
Yes.
Like they, you know, this yeah. is a this is another game where you could roll the ball out and Ohio State will name their score. And it's one of the things that we here on this show don't think has been difficult because we love this. We want to see the greatness. I just want to see Ohio State. I want to see, because we only have so many of them left. I want to see Arvel Reese on the field just doing what he does. I want to see Carnell Tate on the field doing what he does. I want to see Sonny Styles on the field doing what he does, because we don't have much time left with that, right? Like, we've got four more regular season games, and we've got a playoff here. So this is very interesting. But I heard Bone and Tyvus talking today, and they're like, well, we want to see them hit the gas pedal. We want to make sure that they can do that later on when they need to. Well, we just saw that in the second half last week against Penn State.
Didn't they bomb Penn State?
we've seen it against OU in the second half. We've seen it against Minnesota. Like, Ohio State's proven they can do these things.
I mean, God, they did that against Illinois. They just took the foot off the gas in the fourth.
Yeah, so Ohio State's proven they can do these things. Like, I don't know what else we want to see out of this team.
I'll tell you, if you want to see something else out of this team, then you got to get back to our conversation yesterday of what are we doing with some of these teams in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if you want to have a real big boy conversation, that's the one to have. Have you guys looked at what the Big Ten did to Purdue to finish this season? Have you looked at this?
It's not kind.
So they played at Michigan, actually played them competitively, lost 21-16, hosting Ohio State, at Washington, Indiana. That's their last four games. They've also played Notre Dame, Illinois, USC. God, I wish we had this schedule. I mean, Why can't Ohio State have this schedule?
A night game in Seattle, that'll be a lot of fun to go to if you're a fan of one of the teams.
I think the Purdue fans are already looking at basketball, so if their football team's getting blown out, they don't really care.
They got the number one
team
in the
country.
I think this is one of the toughest jobs in this league. I really do. I think this is way up there.
Well,
I think it's this one, Rutgers. I think those two jobs.
The name Jeff Brohm is continuously bandied about for big time jobs. So if you can have success here, it means you're legit. And for Rutgers, like, only the Shiano Mans had success there.
Yeah,
when they were in the Big East and now back in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think you're right, Reese. And that's why I brought up Brohm and I brought up Tiller, because I think they are true football geniuses. And I think of all the guys being bandied about at Penn State, the one that I think is realistic that would intrigue me is Brohm. I do think him with that weaponry and his ability to recruit quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks, that would be something where they don't have to address coach for a while with him. I see no scenario where he would fail at Penn State.
Tiller was truly ahead of his time in this conference.
He's a football genius is what that guy was, and ahead of his time in the sport. I mean, there weren't that many people doing it at that time. So this is step one of a three-step process to get you to Ann Arbor. What do you need to see every week to lead you to believe that by the time you get to Ann Arbor at the end of the month, this team is ready for it? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will need that umbrella today. Daytime highs topping out in the low 60s, but rain develops later this morning into the afternoon. Could have some heavy downpours at times, and we will see gusty winds out of the southwest. Rain should clear up just in time for Friday night football, though we could see a stray shower or storm. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies, and overnight lows in the upper 30s to low 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
You guys see what I got in the mail yesterday?
A gift from Dallas.
That's right. That's right. The beloved ponies have taken notice of our affection for everything that they are. And so we thank them. I see like T-Bone and Tyvus getting jerseys. They get sweaters from the Blue Jackets. Everybody's getting stuff. I got to get boxes of that from Dallas.
So what you're going to have to do in the break is adjust the camera because the little ticker that has all our handles is covering up the SMU logo. And I'm assuming that's the retro
now?
Logo.
You got it now?
I cannot see it now in the YouTube chat. I can see it on our, from here. I can see you in it. But right. No.
Yeah, it's lovely.
The fans who are watching on the YouTube have been probably just thinking he's wearing an Ohio State thing.
Are you going to be the new, are you going to be the new Gruden? Just getting stuff
you
shipped
should
to
do
your
just
house
over the
it
top.
Would be the worst.
You know
it's
what?
Not the
though?
Worst.
Hey,
yeah.
I've got a better idea here, Bo. I think this might be better than. And thank you, ponies, for that. Right?
Yeah, it's but lovely. Yeah.
Maybe people can ship you bottles of bourbon that we can't get here in Ohio.
Good
that are,
grief!
Now that's a
turning
them
into a bootlegger.
Gig. I like this.
All of a sudden, you got Buford T. Justice on the case, taking liquor across the state lines. I think that's a man act. You got to be careful with all that. But no, very thankful for the folks at SMU and sending a little pony gear our way. So we appreciate that a great deal. The boys were pretty jacked up. I told NBC it was a recruiting letter. They sent it in like one of the recruit letter things. So it's almost like a rubber envelope. Like it's the most impressive envelope I've ever seen. So he was pretty jacked up. And then I said, yeah, not so much. Champion's prerogative. Changed my mind. No such luck for you, son. The Blood Ponies have BC this week, so they got an outside shot at the ACC title game. They got to win out, need a little bit of help, but three losses already on the season for them after making it last year. It's interesting how this Buckeye schedule worked. If you go back to way back in July, it kind of lined up ideally. You had three inflection points along the way in the schedule. You had a month that you had your attention for because you were playing the number one team in the country in Texas. So you had that. So that's an easy build. Then you'd kind of take the foot off the brake a little, off the gas a little bit. And then you had a trip out to Washington. Tricky game out there, right? Good place, historic program, dynamite quarterback. Go out there and handle that. And then you got a little bit of a break through the month of October, but you knew that Penn State was looming. Now, Penn State wasn't Penn State. Not as we thought it they would be. Right at that point, they still hadn't won a game in the conference, and they still haven't. They got Indiana this week, which I think will be interesting to see how they play in that game against the Hoosiers at their place. Do they have the pride to stand up against Indiana this week? We'll find out. That number is only 15.5, I think, is where that one is. So something to watch there. But you had that one that you could circle. You could at least sell those uniforms, and you could sell those helmets, and certainly Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and the rest of it. And then you got Michigan at the end of the month, which needs no more words other than that. It's long past due, right? So you have that at the end of the month. And now you have Indiana right after it. So if you think about how this thing was set up, it was set up pretty good in that you got massive game, couple you could chill on a little bit, another massive game, couple you could hang out, another massive game, and then you got Michigan at the end. How Ryan Day navigates at Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers leading into Michigan is going to be fascinating. He has this season, and his staff has done a remarkable job of winning and covering, handling. They're not worried about the cover, but usually what that means is it's comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. And it's been that. So my hunch is that's what these next 3 weeks will be. But he also has to make sure that he sharpens and continues to get better each week so that by the time you get to Ann Arbor, you're firing on all cylinders. You don't want to take the foot off the gas the next 3 weeks by playing lackluster opponents and then not be at your best for Ann Arbor. That's really the task for Ryan Day and his staff because they see this. My God, guys, this is 30.5 tomorrow. So they know what they're up against here.
And I don't think it, is a coincidence that they've been preaching since even last season when they made the national championship run. Before that season, it was talking about building a foundation to get to December, to get into January, to get into the college football playoff, and that's transferred over into this season because they see the schedule same as us. They see the other college football teams. They see other teams in the Big Ten. They see how things are going just the same as us. And I do think that's such a great credit to what they have done in terms of the message to the players in recruiting the right players that don't get complacent for things like this. And I think it's advantageous this season that Ohio State is going in for their last four against Michigan, because you have that destination that you have to get to. That's, I think, how they look at it. Like, November 29th is a destination, and you've got to get there unblemished, and you've got to get there prepared, or else you're in for it. And these are the steps in that to be properly prepared and to make sure all the wrinkles are ironed out before that. And I think, you know, it's no coincidence last week that this team started Heisman campaigns.
Multiple.
To keep the offense, to keep the defense sharp and focused on everything leading up to that game on the 29th.
It's interesting, and it's kind of a bummer that this week isn't a, man, we just come off of a massive win over Penn State. You know, this was supposed to be the come down from a massive high.
That's
and not
a great
that
point.
A big, it
must be celebratory.
Not that a big win or not that a win over Penn State isn't something big and should be celebrated, but you just thought it was going to be more. You thought it was going to be a 1-2 type matchup that you had in the shoe last week. So instead of, as you mentioned, Bo, all these ups and downs and peaks and valleys of the season, you've kind of just stayed in a valley here rather than having that high. So I think that's why it's kind of, you know, ho-hum mundane right
you
now
nailed
with
it.
This. But as you mentioned, we've been in this low, this valley. Now we can start heading up the hill of the roller coaster as we get ready for that game at the end of the year.
Oh, it's going to be here before we know it. We're going to blink, and it's going to be the day after Thanksgiving, and we're going to be in this game. And really, that's what this whole month is about. This whole month is about the march to Michigan. The Michigan game for this team is its own season for this team. Different than until you beat them, that's the way it's going to be. So, you know, if you go back to July and you think about, well, what matters for this team? I remember this vividly. We weren't talking about, hey, go win a national title. You're placing 8 starters on defense. You got a kid who's never played quarterback before. You didn't know what the running situation was going to look like at running back, new coordinators, like all of these factors. It wasn't go win the national title. It was beat Michigan, win the Big Ten. You hadn't done that in a while. Reese, I remember you vividly saying those are two things that haven't happened in a while. Let's do those things. And then nationally, it was, yeah, if you do those things, you're going to make the playoff and then have a little run. But it wasn't like we're saying, hey, go win the national title or the season's a failure. I mean, that was the expectation we set for this team. But it's in the first part of it. Beat Michigan, win the Big Ten. And that task looks like a tall task right now. These guys are more than capable of winning both. But Michigan, I think, is a little better than people thought they would be. And Indiana's a hell of a lot better than certainly I thought they'd be. So you have that to point to. And that's what the next 3 weeks are about, as far as I'm concerned, is building to that end. And it's almost like these are games that count, and they're going to be played, and they're going to be on television and all of that. But the reality is you are building towards something much bigger the next 3 weeks. This, to me, is very much like how it was leading into Texas, very much how it was leading into Washington. Like, you're building to those games, except it's even bigger than that because it's your most hated rival on the other end of it. And that's the job of Ryan Day and his staff.
And I do think for the players, this is fun for them. I mean, they obviously love the game of football, but in a situation where you're just better and you're kind of just slinging it around out there and just playing the game, I think these games are fun because there's pressure. There's always pressure at Ohio State. Like, there's pressure in any team in around the country, but the pressure at Ohio State's 10x. But I think these guys thrive and love it. So I look at this team right now and I go, this is just a different thing. This all of it is just different, but in a good way.
I'm not so sure. I don't know if it's fun for them, but this is part
winning's
of the,
fun.
This is part of the goal, though, right? Like, this is, and this team, you kind of heard it at the beginning of the year when they're like, take the championship banners down.
Yeah.
That was last year. That's not this year. And this is just part of the process, right, for them. And that's one of the reasons why I think watching this team is so fun, and I think it's so enjoyable because, yeah, they're going to, you know, this is just another step in where they want to go. And it's like they're focused on, and it's a little different, Bo. Like, we as the fans are saying Michigan, Big Ten championship, all that stuff. And I think they are too. I think those things matter to them, but their eye is on a prize past those. It's different. Like, the number one goal, I don't know if the number one goal at Ohio State is beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship anymore.
I think it's
still a goal, but I think these guys, their number one is Natty.
Yeah, go win it all. Yeah, I think that's right. I think Reese is right, too, because it is fun to play a game you love and for it to be easy and to dominate and get wins and handle it. The next 3 weeks are going to be very fun. But I do think there are some things that need to be fine-tuned, and we'll get to some of that coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up. Buckeyes over in Indiana, probably there already. Boilers tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This is about the opponent. It's mostly, though, also about Ohio State. And Ryan Day addressed that a little bit in terms of the big goals with this team, that what this team is chasing is not the norm.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, is that, you know, the guys have to be able to do it. It sounds great. You know, a lot of coaches want to do that, but it comes down to the players and the coaches being able to then take the message and you know, put it on the field. And, you know, what we're chasing is not normal. You know, if we're acting normal like everybody else, then something's wrong. I mean, this is something that, you know, you just have to chase. And when you come watch practice, I mean, it should look like the best practice in the country. You know, if we want to be the best team, and each position is the same way, each coach. You know, I feel like when I'm out there, you know, coaching and someone comes watch practice, they should go watch the best coach in America, the best, you know, three technique in the country, the best slot receiver. Like, that's our job every day, and we have to have that approach.
Man, can you imagine that?
Have you ever heard another coach say that?
No, I haven't. I'm glad you...
How do you evaluate that? You go to different practices. Like, this is something I'd love to ask, like, Joshua Perry, when he goes to each Big Ten school. You go, all right, let's rank all 18 Big Ten teams. Who's the best practice coach in the country? Who's the best practice three technique in the country?
So it's funny, when I'm hearing Coach Day say that, I feel like that's something he heard Urban Meyer say before. I don't know. Maybe it's a Ryan Day thing, but I think it's like an Urban Meyer rubbing off on him. And it is interesting because as I hear him say that, and then I hear you, Reese, talk about that, when you go out to like high school practices, there's sometimes you can tell, right? Like, oh, these guys know what they're doing, or I'm not really sure what these assistant coaches do out here. And it is an interesting thing with them, and they, you know, you guys have been out there at practice before. You've seen them. I'm pretty sure there's nobody in the country does it like Ohio State does.
No, and I think you can talk like that, Reese, to your point about I've never heard a coach talk like that. I think you can talk like that when you won a national title and you look the way this team has looked. So my hunch is, I mean, we weren't listening to every press conference Nick Saban had at Alabama. That's felt like Saban to me more than even Urban. I mean, that's what that sounded like. That sounded like Saban at Bama of our standard is us. And this better be the best practice in the country. This better be the this. It's better be all that. That's that. And the challenge with that is keeping that pressure manageable. Because pressure can burst pipes. So the critical thing for this team, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about it in 3 weeks, is when you get to that one, is not be too much, to not turn that pressure up too much, because then you burst. So that's the thing he's riding. He's riding a governor. Riding a governor of pressure. And he just has to make sure that it doesn't go too far and you burst the pipes.
And that's the one thing that makes me nervous about us talking about the march to Michigan and there not really being another team that grabs your attention before then. And, you know, there's things that I'm thinking like, well, I wonder if they're going to work on things for that they have planned in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, no, don't do that at all. Don't even be thinking about that game right now because of what you mentioned. Yeah. That pressure, is it going to be at an all-time high the last week of November?
I mean, it was last year. As soon as they beat you, it changed. I mean, you went all those years and they never beat you. And then as soon as they beat you the first time, it's like, wait, what is this?
it was so like you could feel it last year. It was so unbelievably high going into last year's game. And I'm wondering in 3 weeks what it's going to, because it's going to feel more. Right?
Yes. Yes, it will. It's going to feel more. And it will feel more until you beat them.
The one thing I wonder that could be different for this year's team is last year's team, you knew that was the last shot for Jack and Emeka and JT and Travion and all those guys. I wonder if some of the pressure is off because Julian and I know the pressure. I'm just saying, I wonder if it is a little different.
Yeah, I get your point. I mean, it's it for Sonny, though, and Arvell and Cardell and, you know, it's it for them. You know, you think Sonny Styles thought he's going to walk out of here without gold pants? I mean, there's just no scenario where that's the case. And that's the challenge of all of this.
Even with that, though, it doesn't have to be. It's going to be, but it doesn't have to be those guys you just mentioned's last shot.
No, but I think you bring up a very good point in terms of it would be nice if there was another one that you could have attention. Like if UCLA was USC, if you played USC in 2 weeks, you'd still be probably 13.5 or 11.5, 10.5 point favorites, expected to win by a couple of scores, but it'd have your attention, you know? And I think you're going to hear that next week. You're going to hear Ryan and his staff and the players talking very glowingly about UCLA and Nico Amalieva. That you're going to hear that a lot because they saw him. That's something that you can that resonates. They know how tough he was. My God, he broke his helmet and he kept playing here. Whatever you want to say about how they handled everything after that, that happened. So there's a respect thing there. And I think that's something that helps a little bit. This one's a little tougher. Now, Purdue has played better. They were very competitive at Michigan, lost 21-17. So they have played better. You want to go about your business. This is pretty remarkable. I guess we didn't play them much when I was traveling with the team back from 07 to 15. Didn't get to see these guys much in time. And I had forgotten that from 2009 to 2018, Ohio State and Purdue played 5 times in 10 years. They only played 5 times. Purdue won 3 of them. Purdue won over there. They always win over there. In 09, they won 26-18. I have no recollection of that one at all. They won in overtime in 2011 over there, 26-23. And then, of course, 49-20 over there, Dwayne Haskins with that season over there when Rondale Moore and everybody went nuts. I mean, so they have that success. Now, this is not that team, and whatever their best is, you're going to get it, like all of that stuff. I've been over there for those games, and usually it's a Buckeye partisan crowd is usually the way that it goes. It's a lot of Scarlet in that crowd is the way that it typically goes. So for Ryan and his team, it's about opponent, sure, but it's also about their own efficiencies. He weighed in on that, of the standard being the standard and being efficient on offense and defense every single possession.
When you're efficient and you're playing like that, a 3-score game can feel like it is way out of reach, where I feel like maybe in the past it was like, okay, we're just getting started on the game. But that's how you control the game, being able to run the football. And when it's time to turn up the gas, we will. But I like the way we came out in the second half. I thought we were explosive. We came out, we attacked, and the guys executed well.
Max Clair making his return. Of course, he was a Purdue Boilermaker. Do I have this right? His brother is still there?
Yep.
And so his brother's still there and actually played him? Go ahead, play this for Max.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty it's pretty unique, to say the least. And I've talked to him a few times. He's having a good time doing it too. So
yeah, Luke Clair is the scout team Max Clair.
That's pretty good. Max also weighed in on the difference between last year's Purdue team to this year's. Here he is on that.
We haven't looked at that at all. A lot of new faces, pretty much a 90% turnover or whatever it was. So we actually watched a decent amount of them when we played Washington, because obviously the D coordinator there was my head coach last year. So, but yeah, this year, not at all from last year. So
real quick on him, and I don't want him to catch, I'm not, the intent isn't here for him to catch strays, but I thought that he would be a bigger component here this season. Just 21-210, just 1 touchdown. I really thought that he would be a true third wheel behind Smith and Tate. My hunch is some of this is just those two are so good and you don't get that many plays in possessions, so there's not a whole lot of way of spreading it around. But I thought he would have a little bit bigger role in the pass game.
His production has probably been the biggest casualty of Ryan Day slowing this thing down.
I agree.
And I wondered, because he had had, you know, I think he was like 92 overall in the NCAA game. People were talking about him as an All-American. And like, Ohio State hasn't done a tight end All-American since the 70s. And I just didn't think that was going to continue this season. But, I mean, that room is so strong for Ohio State and what they do in the little things that I think every week they've got to be rewarded somehow. And you saw it with what Bennett Christian last week.
I think you're right, Reese, with the slowing the offense down. That has changed things for guys not wearing four in 17. I also think it goes back to what we played from Ryan at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. It's different at Ohio State. It's easy to be great somewhere else. It's hard to be great here.
Yeah. It's both. I think it's both those things. I think it's Ohio State's pace of play, because they're after something bigger, is just, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, even if I would have told you in July that Brandon Ennis, who's a captain, would go into the month, you know, go into the last four games of the season with only 154 yards receiving and he hadn't been hurt, you would have said that's nuts. But they just don't have enough plays. So the plays they do have offensively, smartly, they're giving the majority of them to 4-17. And that's a pretty good plan. Speaking of plans, the Browns had a plan for over a decade. That plan changed yesterday. We'll get you the details on that and take a look back at Thursday Night Football last night as well. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Don't let credit.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Monday Night Football on The Fan 2. Catch the Eagles and Packers live from Lambeau. Fan coverage starts Monday at 8 on 1460 AM and The Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I think what I saw last night on Thursday Night Football was the most aesthetically pleasing, god-awful game I've ever seen. The uniforms were gorgeous. My God. Just the Broncos in the orange crush with the blue helmet and that Raiders uniform with the silver and the numbers. I mean, it was pristine. It was perfection. The football was utter nonsense.
The antithesis of look good, play good.
Really was. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So bad ball.
So, Bo, I actually don't like the Raiders silver numbers.
Really?
I would prefer it if it was black. I don't like that at all, but I was thinking about this last night.
You got a problem with Kenny Stabler now?
I think the black is better.
You going at the snake?
Listen, I'm also coming at this from a broadcaster's point of view. When those lighter numbers with the outline, yeah, it's kind of hard to read when you see that stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night because we just had this conversation about those Broncos uniforms and those Seahawks uniforms. Mm-hmm. And it is a nostalgia thing, but you know what I think else it is? I think the colors now pop so much more. Like that Denver helmet, something about that blue now pops different.
Do you know what?
Than
I know what it
used
is.
To.
Do you want me to tell you?
Is it the color televisions?
No. If you grew up watching these teams play in the 80s and 90s when they had these uniforms, you were used to it. Okay? And in those days, each team was allowed to use their own uniform supplier. So some of them were Champion or Bike, or I don't even think Nike was in that business at that time, but they had all sorts of different uniform providers.
Russell,
Exactly. And so what they were able to do is they could pick any shade of whatever color they wanted. But once the NFL uniforms became uniform, truly uniform, you have to pick between a certain amount. So right now, if you look around the National Football League, every shade of navy is the same navy. Every royal blue is the same royal blue. Every red is the same red. There's a little bit of variety sometimes. Like the Texans have a slightly darker. They went to like a steel blue, and they were able to do that. But you don't see this because the NFL went uniform with the color schemes. I mean, the Browns orange is the same as the Bengals orange. But if you go back to the 80s and 90s, the Browns orange is actually lighter. It's a lighter orange. Remember, yeah, orange is oranger. Remember all that? Yeah, they had a softer orange in the Kozar era than they have now. So that's what happened. So you're right. It's the reason that it pops is because you're not used to seeing that shade.
Yeah, that could be it. I was just noticing that last night. Like, man, these colors, they're just brighter now than they used to be. You remember, by the way, you're talking about all those uniforms. You remember in the early to mid-90s when the Jets, they went back to like the white and green, the old school uniform, and they had
the Namath?
They had Starter as their jersey supplier.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the type of stuff that happened in those days. Like, everyone was able to do their own, but I think the first, if memory serves, the first company that they, like Logo Athletic, Logo Athletic did the Cowboys uniform. You remember that?
Yeah.
So Wilson did uniforms. I think the one that changed it, the NFL did a deal, I want to say with Reebok in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then it became uniform. And then when Nike got a hold of it, like, Nike's all about uniformity. That's like with the Buckeye stripe. Like, they've taken the gray off the sleeves now since 2006. So it's been 20 years of this. Well, part of that is they want the same stripe on everything so they can sell one thing always. They want the uniformity across all of it. So that's a little bit of why that happened. But yeah, they really popped. Beamsy said, I just said, you're getting all the money last night again. He's really going to get all of it. He goes, Dad, these are so great. Why don't they just wear these all the time? And then we started getting into a conversation with you. I feel like all the throwbacks are better. And I think I told him, I said, yeah, I think in a lot of cases they are. But at the same time, I just think it's because it's new for you. Because when I was a kid and I got the Broncos were shoved down my throat.
Same, unfortunately.
Shoved. Well, I had to watch them every single week because we were in the Rocky Mountain region, right? Even though it was 10 plus hours from where I grew up to Denver. It's not like we were going to games, but they got shoved down my throat. And at no point was I like, oh, the Broncos got great uniforms. Like, nobody thought that then, but now you see them and they pop and they look great.
The ball John was not Elway great. And Carl Mecklenburg and oh, gross. God.
You know, ones that are actually, that are really clean are the white jersey with those helmets. It's really clean. Yeah, Mecklenburg in 77, of course. Speaking of Denver, hired in January of 2016. Nothing official yet, but all the people who, if it's not official when they reported, it might as well be, are reporting that the Browns Chief Strategy Officer, Paul DePodesta, who was hired in January of 2016 to be the head of football thought, essentially, is moving on to Colorado. He's going back to baseball. DePodesta, 58 years old. You see Paul Ball all the time. Does not look that old in any way, shape, or form. And he's going back to baseball. Made his bones, of course, starting with the Indians, chronicled in Moneyball to a certain extent. Then with the A's, eventually general manager of the Dodgers and Padres, was with the Mets as well, and then with the Browns the last 10 years. He is moving on. Excuse me. I think it will be very fascinating to see if they replace him. If that position is replaced or how they handle it, because this is a massive sea change. This is 10 years of strategy that they've followed where DePodesta has been one of the biggest voices in the building. And now that voice is going to run the Colorado Rockies. So I don't necessarily think this means everybody's out the door. I don't think that at all, but he was certainly on the exact same footing as Barry and Stefanski. And so now that's one of those three that's gone. And then what do they do with that position? Do they fill it or not?
Did he like his portrayal? Did he like Jonah Hill's portrayal in Moneyball? How does that still sit with him?
No, I mean, it's not. That's why they don't use his name.
Yeah.
They don't use his name. I mean, that's why they call him. What do they call him? Peter Brandt or something like that in that movie?
It's not. Yeah, it's not Depot.
It's not Depot. No, he didn't like it at all. And so, yeah, that's why it's that as opposed to, cause obviously they use Billy Bean's name. I mean, it's Billy Bean.
He must love a challenge because he's going from Cleveland to a team in baseball that lost 119 games last year.
But if you're him, it's perfect.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he must love that, looking that in the face and saying, I can take that.
Yeah.
Take some stones because, yeah, that Rocky's job's difficult.
I always thought it was weird, and I know that Paul DePodesta came in and was a different way of thinking with running numbers and analytics and whatnot, and you could probably sweep some of those across sports, but I always thought it was weird that the Browns hired a baseball guy. And I know he's not technically a baseball guy, but that's what he started in. That's what he loved in getting into all those numbers and stats and figures. I always thought that was a weird fit.
It's fair. It's fair. I mean, he played college football at Harvard, so he did have football in the background. But you're right. Yeah, he came up through baseball. And really, he and Bean and what they did with Moneyball and Bill James before that, I mean, if you go back 30 years, like, you never saw shifts. Left fielder played left field. Center played center. Right played right. Shortstop played shortstop. You played your position. You never saw shifts. You never saw the emphasis of getting on base versus driving in runs. Like, all of those things. A lot of that stuff came from them. The biggest beef I always had with Moneyball was, in the movie portrayal especially, it's not like this in the book, is they forget to mention that they had Barry Zito and they had Mark Mulder and they had Tim Hudson. That had a lot to do with it. When you have the best staff, you can play Scott Hattieburg at first base and replace Giambi, and it's not a big deal. They still had Tejada.
A young Chavez and Tejada.
Eric Chavez at third. Yeah. Chavez was at short. Like, they still were pretty damn good.
But you needed to spend a half an hour at Chris Pratt's house. Right. You had to get that into the movie.
I think they still had, and Rich Harden was coming up at that time. Like, that pitching staff was the best staff in baseball. That had a lot to do with winning that division despite losing Damon and Giambi.
Hey, I appreciate the work they did. I love the year or two Scott Hattieburg was playing first for the Reds after that. So,
yeah, there you go. All right, second hour of the program, Tim May coming up at 10:30. College football learned and earned up first. Who learned one and earned one? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Come on!
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
From the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State's at Purdue tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Buckeyes are 30.5-point favorites in this one. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage tomorrow morning at 7:30. Ohio State's back at the Shoe next Saturday, hosting UCLA for a 7:30 p.m. kick. On the field tonight, number 19, USC hosts Northwestern at 9 o'clock. In the NFL last night, the Broncos made it 7 straight with a 10-7 win over the Raiders in Denver. In other news, the Commanders will not put Jaden Daniels on injured reserve. His dislocated elbow reportedly doesn't need surgery. Washington's on a bye this week. They'll reportedly reevaluate during that. In college hoops, Ohio State hosts Purdue Fort Wayne tonight at the Shot at 6:30. Brandon Beam will gently warm you up with pregame coverage Friday at 5:30. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan from BMI Federal Credit Union and choose a loan amount from $1,000 to $5,000. For more information, bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Football Friday. Could be an elimination game this weekend for some teams. We will examine those coming up here in about 15 minutes. Tim May at the bottom of the hour at 10:30. Right now, though, time for a little college football learned and earned.
Bishop and Friends present Learned and Earned. What we learned this week and who's earned a drink.
Sponsored by Go Brewing. Visit GoBrewing.com/the fan and claim your buy one, get one free 6-pack of Go Brewing.
I'm going to go, this won't be a popular one for some, and I think Brother Bone is going to get mad at me at this for sure. But I'm going to give it to College Game Day this week. They're at BYU Texas Tech. This is kind of an easy one. They're ranked 7th and 8th. But I was curious, like, how many times this year had College Game Day gone to a game that they're not broadcasting? Now, they are broadcasting this one. This is an ABC game. It's an ABC tip, so they have this one on their air. But they did it in the opener, for Texas against Ohio State. They did it again for Oregon and Penn State. They did it again for Indiana and Oregon. So that's, and then last week was Utah wasn't on their air either, was it? Was that an ABC game or was, I can't remember, or was that, it wasn't Fox because they had the World Series, so it must have been. Must have been an ESPN game.
I don't think so because that was a late night game, right? That was late at night. That was.
It was 9 o'clock, wasn't it?
That was ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was ESPN. Okay, so they, but three times this year, they went to the game that is not on their air. And in all three of the instances, it was Big Noon Kick. So they were predominantly promoting a game that's not on their air. And I remember talking to Reese Davis about this a long time ago when they lost the rights to the to Ohio State going forward and saying, like, being curious, how would they handle it? Would they continue to go to the best game every week? And he was adamant that they would. That what was most important to them was to set the tone for the day in college football and to go to whatever the best game is every week. And for the most part, they've done it. There have been instances where they could have easily gone to other games. I mean, they could have gone to Florida State, Alabama week one with Corso. That's his alma mater. They could have done it, and they didn't. And they're showing out. I mean, you see, they're winning in the ratings battle, and that helps too. So there's a validation for all of it from their perspective. But it's a good job to not just prep the games that are on your air.
I'm going to stay with that for my nomination this week. Cougars head coach Kalani Sitake, former Cougars fullback from 97 to 2000. BYU's got Bear Bachmeyer, their quarterback, who wears number 47. He's a transfer from Stanford. He came over, Bear did, with his brother from Stanford, Tiger Bachmeyer, who's a wide receiver with the Cougars this season. So pretty great name team there. Bear is the first true freshman to start his college football career 8-0 since Trevor Lawrence.
Jeez.
And I think when Lawrence did that, they won the national championship. I'm not saying the Cougars are going to win the national championship, but certainly they're one of the reasons why the Big 12 is probably going to get two teams in the college football playoff. And I think it'll be both teams that meet in Lubbock on Saturday. But BYU didn't miss a step after losing their starting quarterback to the, you know, transfer portal this offseason, when a lot of times that can cripple a team such as BYU. But Sitake is, again, fullback. He was on the Triple Option podcast earlier this week. So Texas Tech, about a month ago, their athletic director came out and they halted, or tried to halt, the tradition of Texas Tech fans throwing tortillas onto the field after kickoffs. Well, the game is in Lubbock tomorrow, and Sitake, when he joined the Triple Option podcast, was asked about that atmosphere in Lubbock.
When you're at BYU, there's a guy named Mike Leach that coached out Texas Tech. We all followed him, because he was a BYU guy, you know, and I mean, I love him so much. He's a great friend of mine, you know, and then I had his son, Cody Bubba, over here with us working for me on our staff for a few years before he went back to work with his dad at Mississippi State. So we always followed Texas Tech and always cheered for him. I had a lot of former teammates that played for him, and so we always saw those games, and it's a really cool environment. So all our guys know about it. We're looking forward to the game. You know me, I'm a fullback. Tortillas fly in the air. Give me some food so I can put it in there. let me get after it. But, you know, I'm just looking forward to the fans and the overall environment. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think our guys should just be honored that they get to be in this position.
He's a really easy route. Just listening to him, and then the whole interview on that podcast, just talking about his faith. You know, he has so many different coaches that he's learned under, and it's BYU's a lot of fun, and he's a huge reason because of that. And they've done a really good job recruiting the right people and utilizing the transfer portal to fill those needs.
So he was committed to Stanford out of high school, and then transferred once Jake Retzlaff got suspended by BYU, and then eventually was exonerated and then transferred to Tulane. And so at that point, he transferred in to BYU at that place. His older brother, Tiger, on the team as well. So that's the way kind of all of that shook out. But it is crazy to see a true freshman wearing 47 of an 8-0 team. I mean, that you evoked Lawrence, you used Trevor Lawrence's name. Like, that's a category of human you're with there.
I'm so disappointed that their dad's name is Hank and not Lion. Like, it would just be too perfect. And if you guys remember, Trevor Lawrence did not start the season as the starting quarterback. They played four games with Kelly Bryant as the starter, and then Lawrence came in and went from there. I'm going to give my learned and earned this week to a couple of Ohio guys. that are playing football down in West Virginia. And one of them is a local kid, Scotty Fox. He's a true freshman quarterback at West Virginia from Mentor, up kind of near you, Bo, though Mentor's far away from everything.
It's far from me, yeah. It's a hike.
He last week, in his second career start, led the Mountaineers to an upset over Houston. The passing numbers weren't great. 13 of 22, 157 yards and a touchdown. He did rush for 65 more yards and two scores in the win. And Dior Hubbard, a lot of people around here remember that name, a great running back over at Gahanna, got Gahanna to a regional championship in a state Final Four one year. 29 carries for Dior, 108 yards, and a touchdown. The Mountaineers get that big upset win with a true freshman quarterback from Ohio and a redshirt freshman running back from right here in Gahanna leading the way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. There's so much talent in this state. I mean, that's the thing that you can lean on when you I've had a lot of people in the last couple of weeks ask about like the Penn State job, like how good of a job is that? And I think it's a really good job and it's got a lot of money. I think it's a top, if there are a dozen jobs in the country that I think are above the rest, I think Penn State's in that mix. But what it doesn't have that it probably had in the 60s and 70s was enough talent in the state to just recruit the state. Now, we're long past that here. Ohio State doesn't do that anymore. They haven't done that really since Earl Bruce. Have they just recruited the state of Ohio? And if you do that, but you could build a college football, a very good college football team, only recruiting Ohio. Very good. You wouldn't be at the level that Ohio State is now, but you don't have to be. But if you had to, you could. And you can't do that at Penn State. And there's not many countries in this part of the country that you, there aren't many states in this part. In fact, Ohio is probably the only one that you can do that. You can do that in Georgia. You can do it at Alabama. You can do it at LSU. You can do it in California. You can do it in Texas. You can do it in Florida. And you can do it in Ohio. It's probably the only northern state where you can do it.
And it's one of the reasons Mount Union has been as good as they
for
have
sure.
at the D3 level.
Of course.
The John Carrolls, the Capitals have had runs. Mm-hmm. All of the MAC schools in Ohio have had times at the top of the MAC conference as well. And listen, there's a reason Kentucky, Louisville, those kind of schools come into Ohio and recruit kids all the time.
Well, who was coaching at Kentucky when they had the success? Youngstown guy.
Well,
with Vince Morrow.
Vince Morrow, who is now at Louisville. You know,
right.
he's got a pipeline to Central Ohio.
Yeah, and Stoops is a Youngstown guy. So Pelini. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you go from, if they hire Brohm at Penn State and he gets Vince, they go together to Penn State. Now you might be on to something. And that's what Dino did at Michigan State. That's how he built Michigan State. Le'Veon Bell's from here. Like, they went and got those.
To think about,
they came down here. Yeah. No, it happened. That's a part of it. Are we giving out a six pack here, Reese?
Yeah. Just from the YouTube chat, I thought this was funny from Chris G, okay. who's going to get the six pack this week, or at least he's my nomination for that six pack, talking about Bill Belichick, and he's finally got a Power 5 win. They beat Syracuse last week, and I completely forgot about Bill Belichick and the North Carolina experiment.
Well, I did until we did those top 26 games that did over 6 million, and I realized the opener
the first
TCU,
one against, yeah.
They did. Andrew Siciliano, who's the voice of the Browns on the radio, you can listen to him right here on The Fan with Nathan Segura calling the games every week. He was up at Syracuse for Hall of Fame weekend. Last weekend, he was inducted into their Radio Hall of Fame or whatever, Radio TV Hall of Fame, Media Hall of Fame. And I'm like, dude, so like the one game you go back to, they lose to Belichick? Like, Andrew's known mostly for his NFL connections. Obviously, he was at the NFL Network forever. And it's like the timing of that. Like, you're still having to deal with Belichick, even though you're at Syracuse. So there you go.
I also know you guys don't feel bad for, like, the Syracuse journos.
Probably
is it new home, or what do they call
new
it up
house,
there?
I think, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. Oh, I know.
You're well aware. Yeah.
A lot of them
yeah.
work in Cleveland.
That was, like, my first job in Tallahassee, the anchor with me, she goes, and she's a lovely person, but it was the first time I ever did a sports cast, and she said to me, she goes, now where did you go to school? And I told her, and I said, how about you? And she goes, oh, I went to the Medill school. And I went to the Medill school.
Northwestern,
I said, I don't know
Syracuse
where that is.
People.
And she goes, Northwestern. And I looked at her and I said, and we're in the same spot. I'm here, you're here.
You
look
guys,
at us.
You guys are gonna have Douglas Sells text in my phone here any second talking about Syracuse like that.
He's a Cuse guy?
Yeah, he is.
There you go. There you go. All right. Elimination weekend in college football. There's a couple of games to pay attention to, and I think there's. I'm very curious about a couple of games in the Big Ten. We'll get you set for that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
This is Jeff for Tri.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Monday Night Football on The Fan. Catch the Steelers and Chargers live from L.A. Fan coverage starts Sunday at 7:30.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
At the Ohio Lot.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will need that umbrella today. Daytime highs topping out in the low 60s, but rain develops later this morning into the afternoon. Could have some heavy downpours at times, and we will see gusty winds out of the southwest. Rain should clear up just in time for Friday night football, though we could see a stray shower or storm. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies and overnight lows in the upper 30s to low 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
It's Friday, and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
And proudly, we are always sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Holidays coming up. Check them out. They will take care of you. I assure you of that one. We do have some breaking news in college football. This from Pete Thamel, among others. Wisconsin and head coach Luke Fickell will stay together for next season. Athletic director Chris McIntosh telling ESPN the move comes with a significant increase in financial investment per Thamel's reporting. This is a fascinating one. It has not gone well, obviously, at all. They're 2-6. Their schedule is brutal the rest of the way. It's very likely they might not win another game. They did play pretty well at Oregon a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's what's affecting a little bit how people view the Ducks to a certain extent. But McIntosh informed the Wisconsin team on Thursday that Fickell will return as head coach. The return comes with changes, which include increased investment in the roster and the program, along with ongoing analysis of every facet of the program. This is the quote from McIntosh. Chancellor Mnuchin and I are aligned on significantly elevating investment in our program to compete at the highest level. We're willing to make an investment in infrastructure and staff. As important is our ability to retain and recruit players in a revenue share and NIL model. If Wisconsin is going to be a competitive as we expect, the support has to be competitive. There's no getting around it. Our people, our fans are passionate about Wisconsin football. I have it no other way. A successful football program is important to university, the state, and our Letterman. No comments from, I don't see any comments from Fick on this. Obviously, it has not gone well at all. I've talked to Joe Thomas about this on multiple times, and one of the things that I've asked him is do you got a guy that can write a big check? And he goes, there is a guy, but he's written a lot of checks. And I said, well, you and JJ Watt and TJ better get busy then. You guys better start slinging some money towards.
Come on, boys.
Towards sell some of that Hall of Fame beef, buddy, which is delicious, by the way, but sell some of that. And then maybe you can start to fill the coffers a little bit for Fick. I think this is a pretty, I don't think Luke Fickell forgot how to coach. I think he went to a job that he thought he could put his own fingerprints all over and build it in a different way, and that failed. That failed. But I don't think Luke forgot how to coach. I don't think he forgot how to recruit. I don't think he forgot how to develop. So if there is a financial investment, I would trust that he would get it turned around. It's also one of the first ones that kind of bucks the trend of get rid of them and pay a big buyout.
Yeah, and I think this is also one of the first that says we're going to, in the same breath as keep the head coach, increase an investment into the actual football infrastructure. So NIL, football facilities, something that can last past a head coach if it doesn't go well next year.
Yeah.
Because we would think if Wisconsin copies and pastes the record from 25 to 26, he's not there in 27.
Yes, I would say that the leash would be about as tight as can be for Luke next year.
Because they face football from a national standpoint, like to the 25 most watched college football games you had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is teetering on national irrelevancy if they're not already falling into the hole. Yeah.
So they are at, no, they host Washington tomorrow. We'll pick that game. Then they're at Indiana, then Illinois, and at Minnesota. That's it. And they've lost six in a row.
I wonder if Wisconsin wants no part of this coaching frenzy that's about to happen, or mm-hmm. I wonder if they think in this coaching frenzy, someone's going to come sniffing around. Just kind of interesting.
Styles make the fights, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are certain places. Like, I mean, I said this a couple of weeks ago. Like, if Luke would have been hired at Penn State, I think it would have went great. If Luke would have been hired at Notre Dame, I think it would have went great. You have to remember this, and this is one thing you have to take into consideration when you're evaluating Luke. He did go to the perfect place for a Buckeye assistant to go. By the way, a devout Catholic Buckeye assistant. Name a more Catholic city than Cincinnati. So you go to Cincinnati, and by the way, you don't have to rebuild that thing. Cincinnati had been a machine on the football field for 25 years. I mean, you got to go. I don't even remember who the coach was before Brian Kelly, but it was a steady diet of winning and winning and winning at Cincinnati. So he went in there on a machine that was already built, and then he perfected it, but he didn't have to start over. What he did at Wisconsin was bold, and it didn't work. But to go to Wisconsin and bring Phil Longo and say, we're going to spin it all over the place in 1 year, that's not who they are. That ain't it. So I do think this is the thing that's hurting, that's making us view all of these jobs in a certain way, and I do think it's Cignetti. I think what you see with Cignetti is, well, hold on now. If you can win at Indiana, why can't we win at Wisconsin? What are we talking about here? So I think that's the thing that skews a lot of this stuff is the success that Cignetti's had at Indiana. But he'll have a lot of pressure on him next year, obviously.
I do think Indiana is going to be interesting to see next year and moving forward. And, Bo, you've talked about they've got money, they've got people invested. Mm-hmm. But Cignetti has nailed the transfer portal, right? And part of mm-hmm. that was he had a bunch of guys that he already knew. And a bunch of guys 100%. That knew his system. Some of those are going to be out the door after this year. And so far, they've nailed the quarterback both years. Curtis O'Rourke from mm-hmm. OU was good last year. Mendoza has been awesome. Now, I know Mendoza's little brother is on the roster, so maybe mm-hmm. he just takes over next year. Do they go get someone else? Can they keep hitting a portal quarterback every year? I think it's going to be interesting to see what Indiana does after this year.
And I do think
I couldn't agree with you more.
It's, I don't know, this is excuse making, but like imagine if Cignetti gets to Indiana, Curtis Rourke comes in from the transfer portal, and then the second game of the season he's injured. Like, where's Indiana next season after that? Where is Indiana football if not for that injury? I know he got, it was his thumb or maybe his knee injury like midway through the season. But the idea mm-hmm. that they were able to stack before he dealt with that injury. And then similarly for this year. So they deal with a Rourke injury last season. They come into this season with Fernando Mendoza. And then Mendoza gets injured at camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fickle at Wisconsin and how it's, you know, kind of been a rain cloud over him the entire time.
You're exactly right. He's lost his quarterback every year. I mean, they've gone to the portal for quarterbacks every year. Every year they lose them. And so they get bludgeoned, and that's it. So, look, I'm happy for Luke. And I if you they basically are saying, we're going to give you the money. You say you need more money. You need to have these things. We're going to give it to you. You got next year to go win. Now, I haven't looked at their schedule to see if it's as audacious as this year's was. But that'll go a long way to it. Snagglepuss, the great Snagglepuss with a great drop in on this. D'Antonio, yeah, he was. D'Antonio was at Cincinnati before Kelly. So, I mean, Cincinnati was a ready to go and just fed coaches all over the place.
Tuberville, Butch Jones,
D'Antonio, left Kelly. Texas Tech to go to Ole Miss. Remember that? He was with a recruit and he ran, jumped out of a window was the story of the restaurant to go to Cincinnati. Now the guy's a senator.
I mean, sounds like a politician.
God, what a mess. What an absolute mess that is. Couple of games. We'll pick these. I think it's not an elimination game for Oregon, but it is for Iowa. And this is a game that I am fascinated to see tomorrow. Oregon's favored by 6.5. What does that game look like? And if the Big Ten, there's a couple of these, like Washington's at Wisconsin. I certainly think that they will win, but will Wisconsin play with a little bit of guts to them? If the Big Ten's going to get 4, you need to pay attention to what Oregon's doing, what Iowa's doing, what USC's doing, and what Washington is doing. One of those, you really need Oregon to probably lose one and then win the rest, and you need whoever beats Oregon to win out. That's your path for 4 teams for the Big Ten in the college football playoff, which will be here before we know it. 2 minutes from now, Tim May, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
I mean, I got to say, who does Tim May think he is? He's screening calls from us now?
I mean, surprised often anymore.
That's shocking of a call screening in the history of call screening shock.
There's no way that's true, because if there's he's either en route to Purdue or the phone's he's in a dead spot, because I know one thing about Tim May. Tim May wants to talk.
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Me too. I agree. Johnny Depp is John Dillinger. But why would he be going over there? Isn't he doing the pregame?
We do it on the Opal. He's over there. He has the Opal. He connects here.
So he'll do it from, you think he would do it
from Rite Aid Stadium?
Do you think he's en route to Indiana?
I think he is. Yes. I think that's the one.
Okay. He's somewhere over that godforsaken state where he's in some sort of a cellular disaster. Where are you? Where are you, Tim May?
I'm in my car. I'm hustling to go from hither and yon.
Are you in Indiana or Ohio?
No, I'm in Ohio right now. I'm about to go record my Friday podcast with special guest co-pilot Bill Bender of the Sporting News. You know, when Clay Hall can't answer the bell, you know, you have to have a backup co-pilot. And Bill Bender is about as capable of flying the plane as anybody.
That's a lot of capable folks there. I'm with you. That's
you
a lot of capable folks.
There?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Analogy?
You can go those new planes. You don't even need a co-pilot. You just fly those solo.
Well, yeah. Until something really bad goes wrong. And then, you know, as the old saying goes, there was a, you know, most modern airliners can, depending on the ILS system available at airports, can land themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah. But as the pilot once said, I don't know. I don't think we want to tell the 250 people sitting in the back this plane's going to land itself.
No, you don't. No, you do not. We had the college football playoff rankings this week. We know that these things are going to get sorted out over the course of the next month. It's much ado about nothing. But one thing I try to do when I look at it is, are they setting any sort of an agenda with certain teams?
Yeah.
When you saw as that was unveiled, what jumped out to you?
Well, as it was unveiled, what jumped out to me is, number one, the top four were what I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the next next two or three, how many SEC teams in a row after you get past Indiana? The bottom
it's
line
Texas
is
Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. There's four in a row.
There you go. Four in a row before you get, you know, anywhere close to Oregon, which is the third best team, maybe, if you were talking about it right now, in the Big Ten. So that pretty much tells you that they are drinking the Kool-Aid to a certain extent on the committee, that that many lost teams, one lost team, soon to be two lost teams, are still considered top five or six in the country. I don't agree with that. Like I've been telling you for a while now, and this goes even for Texas A&M. And I may, I'll put up and shut up if I'm not correct. Mm-hmm. But the SEC, man, is bereft of big time defenses, except maybe for Texas. And I'm just going to stand by that. These are not, we're looking at teams that aren't complete teams in the sense of great, if you follow my drift. So, yeah, we'll see how this plays out. Like you said, I tweeted that late Saturday night. Isn't it funny how the college football always sorts itself out by the end, you know?
Yeah. I thought I didn't have a problem with Texas A&M, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. What I had a problem with was Texas at 11.
Correct.
Like, I've watched Texas the last 3 weeks. I watched them get lucky to beat Kentucky, get even luckier to beat Mississippi State. Now, they played pretty well for three quarters against Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt came all the way back, but at the same time, like, they were never going to lose that game, but there is no way that Texas is the 11th best team in the country as we state right now. And that's what I took notice of, because what it tells me is you're going to set up some things where you're going to have quality losses, which is going to be a big talking point over the next month.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, whatever floats the SEC boats, that's what you're going to hear as the key talking points. And I'm telling you, Iowa, Oregon this week is a huge game.
It is.
You know, I know people don't want to hear it because it's Iowa, but that's because you're thinking about Iowa from the last 5 or 7 years. Iowa's now shown the ability to score more than one touchdown in a single game, you know? I mean, it's a huge game in terms of the college football playoffs. It's a huge game for the Big Ten in terms of college football playoffs, because if you made an argument for four teams being in from the Big Ten, you know, right now, Iowa has the best chance to control its own fate in doing that. But you know, to do that, then Oregon's got to take one for the team. So, it's really, November is so huge. It's kind of crazy for the Big Ten in terms of that fourth team.
Yeah, and I think
let me interrupt you. And the other possible fourth team lurking out there.
Don't take care of business.
Yeah, I know, but it's lurking out there November 29th.
Why would you do that to me? It's November 7th. I'm trying to just, we're inching close. You can't do that to me now. I'm not ready for that yet.
Bo, I would like to apologize. I'll send you a get well card as soon as I'm done here.
Thank you. My friends at SMU sent me a care package. So how about that?
There you go.
Very exciting.
You and John Gruden, man, y'all going to be making it. You need to start opening those on the air.
I should have. Yeah, I was very excited.
I would watch it. Go ahead.
I think the reason that all this is kind of coming ahead for us here is because of the next 3 weeks. It's 30 and a half tomorrow in West Lafayette. It's going to be 21 and a half probably for UCLA. It'll probably be 26 and a half, 27 and a half against Rutgers. It's just the dregs of this league are brutal. And Ohio State only has one game this year where they were favored by a score or less. Now, some of that is their greatness, and some of it is a lot of teams in this league aren't very good. The bottom of it. They have more teams, and the bottom's bad. Yeah. And that's just something that sucks. I mean, it sucks that Penn State wasn't Penn State, right? Because you should be coming off of the high of beating a team that was preseason number two in the country, but that program fell apart this year. Doesn't mean they don't have talent. Uh-huh. Penn State's got a ton of talent. That was a big time win. They got a ton of talent. I know Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and Dennis Sutton, all those guys. Like, they got talent, but they, as a team, they weren't there. And I think that's what makes it hard. And I also think it's really important that Ohio, and people here know this, but this is not an Ohio State problem. It's a Big Ten problem. It's not an Ohio State problem.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. So many people were wrong. If you look at it now in retrospect, so many people were wrong about Penn State. Not the Big Ten. People across the country thought this was the year. And when you looked at their roster, very talented roster, maybe missing a couple of pieces. That's why I never bought into the Penn State National Championship run, because I still thought they had a deficit at quarterback, but a deficit at quarterback maybe in the big games, but maybe more of a deficit at wide receiver, et cetera, in the big games, which your passing game is finally what's going to decide a lot of what happens to you when you reach for the brass ring. And they were missing still lacking in that area. That's why I didn't buy into, but I thought they would be extremely competitive. But then, like we talked about a week ago, I mean, you give them 13 points in their, you know, and they were undefeated going into the Ohio State game. So it's like they're not, you know, Penn State's a huge disappointment. But I would argue that Texas has been a huge disappointment. And I'm not just saying that ironically because they were 1-2 in the Associated Press poll. Those august great purveyors of sport there who had them at the top of the heap. But then again, Ohio State has been a little bit of a surprise to some people because, you know, people, before you get to watch somebody play, you just look at numbers. You're placing eight guys, starters, on defense. Are you kidding me? You're placing your starting quarterback and your two really superb running backs. How's that going to play out for you? And replacing key members of your offensive line, you know, three starters. How's that going to play out for you? It's played out pretty well. So that's the fallacy of making these judgments before the thing. But you're right. I mean, it's really funny. I think I disagree with you on the Rutgers spread because I see Rutgers being 30 or more, to be honest with you. I mean,
Might be, from what I've noticed.
But I'm, you know, but you just got to play the games. I remember going over to Purdue 2018, Rondale Moore. But, you know, what, keep him in check. You got it going, right? And big storm blew through there an hour and a half before the game. And next thing you know, one of the great upsets. Although, really, if you were at the game, it wasn't an upset. Ohio State was not playing very good defense, and they got blasted. And the same thing, I like Ohio State right now, dude, they are playing real defense. I mean, it's fun to watch.
I think the biggest thing is those things don't happen to Ryan.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose those games.
Those things really didn't happen to James Franklin either. No, I think Ohio State's going to take care of business. And then November 29th, you know, let everything fall where they may. This team takes care of business. That's what I like most about them. And when you see a defense that's just so eager to get on the field, you know, you're not sitting there going, oh no, there goes the defense. It's more like, oh man, what's Kenyatta Jackson going to do there? What's Caden McDonald? Oh my goodness, you see Caden McDonald. What's Caleb Downs? What's he up to out there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's pretty fun, man.
No, this is a joy to watch. Oh, it's just the next 3 weeks are a little tight. Yeah. It's just tough the next 3 weeks because there's no challenge. That's the problem.
Yeah, and one more I want to throw in. Arville Reese, oh my goodness, who's going to block the freak?
Well, what's funny about him is what I think is so cool about this defense, and obviously relationship with threes is a big part of knowing this, but like I know how badly he wanted Arville Reese and Sonny Styles in that room.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes you got to stand on the table, you know what I mean? Like that Danny DeVito commercial.
There you go.
With
there
Eli
you go.
Manning, you know.
Are you driving over there?
No, I'm headed to my our studios.
But you're not going over there at all, right? You're not going to that game?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the game.
Oh, you are.
But it'll be fun. You know, I'll get there when I get there. It's going to be fun. But it's one of those things. I think you agree with me because you did this gig for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the least, you know, wow factor of any Big Ten town or school when you arrive on campus is Purdue. I don't know how to explain it to people. It's like we're, you know, Neil Armstrong went to get away from people. You know, he was not a real people person, but
no.
I'm just.
The only thing I like about it is they have natural grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that.
The thing that stood out to me is you just feel like there's something in the air over there every time you go over there. And,
it's a different place.
Of course, the first game I ever covered over there was 1984 when Purdue with Jim Everett pulled that upset. And like I remind people, when Mike Tomczak threw the ball out of bounds to stop the clock on their last minute drive on fourth down, they just tell you just weird stuff. And of course, it was also the scene of Holy Buckeye.
Right.
But, that game didn't need to be that close, but Maurice Clarett was banged up and, you know, just weird stuff happens over there.
Certainly does over there. All right, safe travels, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, brother. You know that.
There he goes, the great Tim Bay, the Tim May Show on fanstreamsports.com and right here at the Fan on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Little thing or not a thing up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that.
The Fan, Progressive Insurance.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Laugh with the Bob and Tom Show on the Fan 2.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
It says here they've won 5 Marconi Awards. I can't even spell Marconi. The Fan 2, Columbus's home of the Bob and Tom Show.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a football Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
In college hoops last night, Florida beat North Florida 104-64. With 2 minutes left to play in the game, Gators redshirt freshman center Olivier Rioux made history when he became the tallest person to ever play in a college basketball game at 7'9". Whoa. The world's tallest teenager said after the game, it felt great. The support from everybody was amazing, even on the bench and even the fans. I think everybody supported me. I'm very grateful. He was asked about making history and said, quote, it's another day, I guess. Thing or not a thing?
I mean, it's probably not a thing. Other than just from the reaction of that there's a human being that's 7'9" that's playing college basketball, probably could have stopped it. There's a human being that's 7'9". I mean, that's just crazy. God bless the kid. Obviously, just being able to move is probably a challenge with the fact that he doesn't get into the game with 2 minutes. So, from a basketball standpoint, it's probably a little bit of a struggle. But great for him. And I can't imagine, like, just on a, from a serious note, I cannot imagine how difficult life has been for him, like just navigating being that height, just cars, planes, clothes, shoes, all of it. It's, I just can't imagine how tough that's been.
I know a lot of basketball players deal with this, but as Reese is reading that, I'm thinking, what do they do on the team plane for this guy? Like, there's no way flying on a plane, a normal plane, works for him.
He would have to be exit row. He would have to be aisle.
Yeah.
He would have to have legs just in the aisle. I mean, that's the only chance.
I remember hearing stories about Andre the Giant back in the day, who was obviously a bigger physical human. Like, Mr. Mr. Ryu is pretty tall and skinny. But just how much life difficult, how difficult life was for him being the size that he was. And I'm guessing that's the same thing for this kid. Probably hits his head on a lot of doorways and stuff. It's a cool thing because it's history, right? He's the tallest player to ever do it. It's not a thing on the basketball court, though, because if this kid was really, really good, he would have been playing games last year as a real freshman. He's getting in at the end of a blowout with 2 minutes left, so this is going to have no impact on the court. But, man, 7'9". I think they said this kid was 7'5" when he was like 13, when he first became a teenager.
Gosh almighty.
Sticking with college hoops, the Auburn Tigers are 2-0. They beat Merrimack 95-57. First season for Stephen Pearl as the head coach of the 20th-ranked team in the country. Earlier in the week, they beat Bethune-Cookman 95-90, and Bruce Pearl's kid had this to say after that win.
I just, you know, I know Auburn fans are tired of being told to be patient, so we're going to get our asses to work. But we... you know, it's a group of 10 new guys, so it is going to take time for this group to learn, to grow, and to get better, and that's something that we're committed to doing every single day.
You're close, Stephen. Just kidding. Sorry.
Both of those shots at Hugh Freeze. Thing or not a thing?
Well, listen, I think this probably tracks pretty well. I know that there was a great deal of, not dislike, but kind of, at Kentucky when Coach Cal was there and Mark Stoops. Because, like, well, what do we want to be good at? And that was at Kentucky. So can you imagine, like, at Auburn, when the basketball team's been great and Bruce Pearl's getting teams that are number one overall seeds. In the meantime, Hugh Freeze is like, man, I'm the only job that matters around here. This is Auburn. So I'm guessing that's what that's about. And I guess that makes sense. That would make, when you have an athletic department that's not all rowing in the same direction, you don't root for each other, bad things happen.
I'm not saying that Stephen Pearl isn't qualified for this job. I don't know if he is or not.
Well, I am. He's only qualified because of his last name.
But he has been on the staff working. I don't know if he's a good coach or not, right?
That's what you don't know. You don't know if he's a good coach, but he doesn't get the job if he's not who he is.
But I would be very careful throwing things out like that and taking shots at other coaches when, as you said, Bo, you are where you are because who your father is.
Yeah.
It's easy to be a Nepo baby until the spotlight is on you. So
the Nepo baby
really
gets
careful.
You the chance, Bake, right? The Nepo yes. baby gets you the job, and then what you do with it is up to you.
So be careful slinging arrows here in your first week on the job, dude.
I would agree. I also think you really like Hugh Freeze. You're a big Hugh Freeze guy.
I mean, he's had some results on the field.
Hopefully it works out for Auburn. You remember when he coached from that press box at Liberty?
Liberty in the hospital bed. Yeah.
In the hospital bed.
One of the more indelible images of college football over the last 25 years.
We didn't get a chance to talk about him. It was one of my favorite things over the weekend is the reason you knew that he was fired is he had that standing golf tee time at 1:30 at the Auburn golf course and it got canceled. That was the first sign that he got fired.
It's like Brian Kelly shows up to work Sunday morning and his key card doesn't work. Like, what are we doing? How Bush League is that?
So great. God, this sport's amazing. It's so good.
The newest Indianapolis Colt, Sauce Gardner, cleared concussion protocol and will play Sunday when Indianapolis and Atlanta play a game in Berlin, Germany. The number one for Sauce was, up until last week, or I guess up until this week, worn by Josh Downs, the brother of Caleb Downs. Well, Josh is going to be giving up that number one to Sauce Gardner, and Downs was asked about that transaction.
Yeah, just a good little friendly transaction, man. New teammate, wanted to make it easy for him. Like, we appreciate him being here, so, you know, I know he's been number one, and I know that number means a lot to him.
Josh, when you say friendly transaction, friendly financial transaction?
Nah, I don't get too much into that. You know, just me and him talked a little bit, and, you know, we came to a conclusion.
It's got
to
be a couple favors, though. I mean, something.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I might ask him to clean my locker a couple times, carry my pads out to practice. Laundry.
Thing or not a thing.
Intelligence must go in that family. It travels well. That's really smart. So he got probably a little cash, some other considerations, I'm sure, to go from two and from number one. And then I think he kind of upgraded because I actually prefer two to one in football. So I think he actually upgraded to two from one. So I think it's a win-win for the Downs family.
Yeah, unless we're talking about rankings in your sport, you always want to be number one, right?
Yeah.
I think the number two is a better number than the number one, quite frankly. So,
yeah.
And he's going to wear the same number as his brother. That's pretty cool.
That's all very, very cool. Final hour on a Football Friday. Up next, we'll attempt to know the scores first. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State looks to improve to 9-0. The top-ranked Buckeyes are at Purdue tomorrow for a 1 o'clock kick. OSU's won the last three in the series and heads to West Lafayette as 30.5-point favorites. We'll have that game on The Fan with coverage Saturday morning at 7:30. On the field tonight, 8-1 Memphis will host 6-2 Tulane at 9 p.m. Both teams vying to be the group of five representative into the college football playoff. At 9 p.m. in Hollywood, number 19 USC hosts Northwestern. In the NFL last night, the Broncos improved to 8-2 with an ugly 10-7 win over the Raiders. Week 10 continues Sunday in Germany with the Colts playing the Falcons in Berlin. In college hoops, Ohio State welcomes in Purdue Fort Wayne tonight at 6:30. We'll have pregame coverage on the Fan at 5:30. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets continue in Canada tomorrow. CBJ battle the Vancouver Canucks Saturday at 10 p.m. You can hear Blue Jackets hockey all season long right here on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, what do you want to see from the Buckeyes offensively and defensively? Coming up in about 15 minutes, Doug LeMaurice coming up at the bottom of the hour. Time now to see if we can know the scores. Hit it, guys.
It's time for Know the Scores on Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Are we into week 11 of the college football season?
It's week 11, dude.
We sure
are. When I wrote that down on my legal pad that I keep track of all this stuff on, I just, week 11, here we go. It's crazy. Last week, I was 11-0 money line. 11-0. Ended up 7-4. Missed three of, the Georgia one where they downed it at the one, Texas by the hook. It was crazy, like how many things happened. Still went 7-4. I'm now 63-45 on the year.
Bo, you've got me by one game now. I went 6-5 last week, so I am 62-46 on the year now.
We got a handful of games to pick on Saturday, but we'll start with a game tonight. Number 19 USC hosts Northwestern. It's the Trojans, who are 14.5-point favorites here, Bo.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed in the Big Ten, and of course now that I acknowledge this, it won't work, but one thing I've noticed is it's a big toll when you go across the country, and Chicago, L.A. isn't exactly across the country, but it's a flight, and it's a night game at SC, so anytime I see those, I'm for it. One other thing I'm noticing a lot, not just in college, but in NFL, everything's got a hook. There's no whole numbers anymore. Everything's 14.5. You don't ever see a 7. It's 6.5 or 7.5. They don't want any pushes. It's all winners or losers. And I think USC is going to win this one pretty big tonight. Give me the Trojans winning this one 35-14.
So Northwestern has been a pretty plucky team this year for the most part. And I think, I don't believe USC is that great of a team this year. This number, though, to me, just screams a late score for USC to get the cover. So I've got the Trojans 35 as well, Bo. I have Northwestern 20, though.
All right.
Saturday at noon in less than Happy Valley, Penn State hosts number 2 Indiana. It's the Hoosiers, 14.5-point favorites in this one, Bake.
So Indiana can't keep beating people 56-6, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they just can't continue to do this. This number, though, I think Penn State will play them tough. I think Penn State came out last week and played hard at the beginning. Then I think Ohio State just out-schemed them, made adjustments in the second half, and it was just too much for them. This number just isn't quite enough for Penn State, though. I think Indiana wins 41, Penn State 23.
So I made a vow that I'm never going against Cignetti again. I'm just throwing points. That's it. And yet here I am going against Cignetti again.
Oh,
he's not losing. Really? They're not losing over there. I just put myself in the Penn State program. Basic blue and whites, black shoes. You think of, for God's sakes, you are Penn flipping State. Have a little pride. Handle your business. Run the football. Play solid defense. And because you're Penn State and you can't have nice things, you're still going to lose. But I think it's a little closer. I think this is really close. I think this is very much similar to their game against Iowa. Wow. Maybe not quite that close. But I like Indiana winning this one. I'm going to go 28-14.
I am shocked.
I know. I know. I said I'd never do it. And here I am.
At noon.
Monday I'll be eating crow again.
Not with that attitude. With that attitude, yes. Have some belief in the fight for the Nittany Lions.
Listen to what I had to do. I just gave Penn State a pep talk, for God's sakes. Penn flipping State. Mm-hmm. 6 most wins all time.
Have
giving a
pride.
Pep talk to beat Indiana.
At noon tomorrow in Lubbock, number 8, Texas Tech is a 10.5-point home favorite, hosting number 7, BYU.
Yeah, so BYU has trailed by 2 scores or more in 4 of their games in the fourth quarter this year. So they are ones that get behind and then chase. But the way that you said this, leads me to my selection, because you said it with an inflection point on 10.5. That's there for a reason. That's going to be a brutal spot. That's a noon kick. All of the pomp and circumstance that goes with it. I like Texas Tech rather bigly in this one, 38-24.
So when I see that line, it makes me go, "Rrr."
Mm-hmm.
And usually when that happens, you should go with it. It actually makes me think Texas Tech might win this game really big, like a 45-10 type thing like they did to Utah. I'm not going to go that far, Bo. I'm pretty close to you. I got Texas Tech 38, BYU 27.
3:30 tomorrow in Columbia, number 22, Missouri, hosts number 3, Texas A&M. It is the Aggies, 6.5-point road favorites. Baker.
I think Missouri's defense is pretty good. Texas A&M really doesn't blow anyone out. They beat LSU pretty decently last week, but LSU has proven not to be very good. I think the Aggies win. They remain undefeated, but the Tigers give them everything they can handle. A&M 24, Missouri 20.
I'm with you. I see this one. I think it's a little bit more high scoring than that, but I think it's very close. I'm going to go 28-20 Aggies. I'll take the Tigers and the points.
Also at 3:30 tomorrow, number 22, Iowa hosts number 9, Oregon. Another road favorite in this one, the Ducks by 6.5, Bo.
I could see any number of things happening in this. I think this line is this low because of how they struggled against Wisconsin. I also think Iowa's pretty good. We've been kind of talking about them all year. This is not the Iowa of previous years. It's a different team. They can score it. I think this is a classic. I think the Big Ten would probably prefer Iowa to win if they wanted to get 4 teams in. I don't think the Hawkeyes are going to win, but I do think this will be an ultra-close game. Give me the Ducks winning this one, 31-27.
So I think in hindsight, they're going to be bummed that this isn't the 7:30 game on NBC.
It feels like it's going to be a good one.
I'm with you, Bo. I think this is going to be a classic. The only thing I can't see happening in this is Iowa blowing Oregon out. I could see Oregon blowing them out. I could see Oregon winning close. I could see Iowa winning close. I'll be damned, though, if I've come in here all week and talked up Iowa and then not picked them to win this game. Iowa wins maybe best game of the year in the Big Ten, 31-30.
4:30. How they treat them would be fascinating, how they treat those teams.
It'll be fun if that does happen.
Yeah.
Obviously, next Tuesday we'll have plenty to talk about, but there'll be that like the biggest discussion point for the Big Ten and probably for college football. 4:30 in Madison tomorrow. Number 23, Washington, is a 10.5-point road favorite facing the Badgers.
This game is just blah to me. There's no way Wisconsin makes it close to me, and I don't know if Washington's going to Indiana them, but I've got Washington doubling up the Badgers 34-17.
Yeah, one thing I was noticing with Washington is when they go east, it's a struggle for them. They went out to Maryland and just won 24-20. They were at Michigan and lost 24-7. When they're at home, they're a much, much different team. But then the one that I kept circling back to is they went to Rutgers and won 38-19. And I think that's probably what's going to happen here, that there will be some separation as it goes along. I like the Huskies winning and covering this one as well. I'm going to go 31-14.
At 7:30 tomorrow in Death Valley, Clemson is a 1.5-point favorite hosting Florida State on the ACC network.
Think what you just said.
How far we have fallen.
Think what you just said. Florida State beats Bama in the opener. Clemson loses a close game to LSU, but they were still in the top 10 in the country after the loss. And now this game's relegated to the ACC network, and I don't know what the future is for either one of these programs. I do know this. Clemson, at least, I think, still has some belief. I don't think there's any belief in Tallahassee, so give me the Tigers to win. I think it's a gross game. Tigers 18, FSU 15.
I didn't understand why Clemson was favored when I saw this, and I know both of them are awful and terrible this year. It really doesn't make sense to me, especially coming off a loss to Duke, why Clemson would be favored.
Dude, FSU's 1-4 in their league.
I understand.
These teams suck.
They're 500 at least. Clemson's 3-5.
That's fair. I can't believe one of their wins is against Bama.
It's Isn't it insane?
What are we doing?
How does that even make sense looking back now? Clemson is at home, though. Dabo is dead to me, but I think they win this one 27-24.
Speaking of Alabama, we'll go to Tuscaloosa for our next game at 7:30. The fourth-ranked Tide host LSU. Bama is a 9.5-point favorite.
Bama is a lot better than LSU. But LSU does have dudes, and I think LSU, this is their Super Bowl tomorrow at Alabama. I could see Bama blowing them out, but I think it's closer than that. I think Alabama wins 31-21. LSU gets like a late score to make the people worry about their bets a little bit.
I think this is a terrifying one, too. I wish this was 10.5. I do. Bama just doesn't. They did bury Tennessee at home 37-20. The Bama's schedule has been pretty crazy over the last, I mean, if you go really all season. The only one on the schedule that you look at and go, well, that was scheduled as a pushover was UL Monroe. Everything else, I mean, it's Florida State and Wisconsin are the other non-conference games. So they've taken a lot of punches. I think it's just enough, though. I like Bama winning 31-21.
So we got the same score on that one.
Yeah.
7:30 in South Bend, Notre Dame hosts Navy, the Irish, 26.5-point favorites.
I hate these. Number one, I love the service academies, love Navy the most. I just hate trying to predict how these are going to go because the Navy, they play in such a specific way. But I do think that this Notre Dame defense and the run game of the Irish will just end up being too much in this one. So I like the Irish winning 35-7.
I'm pretty upset with Marcus and Notre Dame for not covering last week against Boston College. That was actually a pretty gross game for Notre Dame. Notre Dame won this game 51-14 last year, and I think this Navy team was better last year than they are this year. They're coming off that loss, though, to North Texas. I think Navy is going to be ready for this one. I think Notre Dame still covers, though. I got the Irish big 42-14.
Final game we'll pick right now. We'll do the Ohio State-Purdue game at the end of the program. But UCLA hosts Nebraska tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. It's the Bruins, 1.5-point favorites in this on Fox. Wow.
There is every part of me that wants to pick Nebraska with a first-time starting quarterback to go in there and beat UCLA. I just can't do it. I think this is a good game, though. I think it's close. UCLA 30, Nebraska 24.
Look, we established that Nebraska can have nice things, but they got a good bit of good news this week. They lose Raiola, but then Rule stays. He does the extension. And some of the shine is off UCLA as well. I think with a week to prepare, Nebraska goes out there. They're fans. It'll be a home crowd for them. I'm going to go with the Huskers. I'm going to go with the Huskers to win the game outright. I don't think it's a particularly aesthetically pleasing game, but I'm going to go 2017 Huskers on that one. There's some dicey ones this week, guys. Be careful out there.
Yeah, I'm not super confident this week in the picks.
Yeah, some weird. And they're getting pretty smart out in the desert. Like, it's always a full score and a hook now.
Getting.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, last year you'd get some whole numbers. Like -3, -7, you don't ever get that now. What do we need to see when the Buckeyes have the ball against the Boilers on Saturday and the other side of that matchup? Can Julian Sand keep on playing the way he's been playing? You'll hear from him coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Delaware County.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ryan Day's Buckeyes are back on the road for a Big Ten battle with Purdue.
And Drew Brees has no eligibility left.
Live fan coverage starts Saturday morning at 7:30 with the Kick at 1.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Brought in government.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We will need that umbrella today. Daytime highs topping out in the low 60s, but rain develops later this morning into the afternoon. Could have some heavy downpours at times, and we will see gusty winds out of the southwest. Rain should clear up just in time for Friday night football, though we could see a stray shower or storm. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies and overnight lows in the upper 30s to low 40s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, what do we want to see offensively and defensively from the Bucs in a moment? But before we get to that, Reese.
Well, we talked about it in the last segment. It's already week 11, mm-hmm. week 10 in the professional ranks. I don't think I need to tell anybody, but November's a busy month. You're going to ask a lot of your bodies as we move through football and the holiday season. Now, we've been talking about Go Brewing for the last couple of months. The makers of award-winning non-alcoholic craft beer that actually tastes like beer. And it's been a huge help for me during this busy football season because I love beer. It's my favorite thing to do with football. I don't always love how beer makes me feel. The headache, the bloat. Help your body out. Try substituting in a Go Brewing beer when you do your tailgating or your turkey time. Go Brewing's available at Kroger. Find it in the beer aisle. Visit GoBrewing.com/thefan for free beer. When you buy 2 6-packs of Go Brewing from Kroger, you'll get reimbursed for one of them. That's GoBrewing.com/thefan.
This game tomorrow is really about Ohio State. It's not really about Purdue. Purdue was a little frisky last time out against Michigan, but this is not a talent equates in any possible way. It would be shocking. This is a competitive game into the third quarter. I don't see it being that way. I think this being a pretty dominant Buckeye approach, depending on weather. I mean, sometimes you get crazy rain or wind or something like that, and then things get a little crazy. But I think this Buckeye team is upset proof, and I think they're close game proof when talent isn't even the same vicinity of equating. So what you want to see from the Buckeyes offensively is Bing Bong being your fire dead offense. You want to move it up and down the field. You want to spin it around. They keep unlocking a little bit more of that this week. One thing I do think they need to unlock is they need to get some consistency out of the ground game. That's been a constant kind of all season long. And when we do the three things to a Buckeye victory, you're going to hear me talk about, you know, the short red zone, touchdowns, not threes, all of that type of stuff. But as long as you have Julian Sain, and as long as you have the weapons that they have on the perimeter, that is going to be your roadmap for success. One thing that we've started to see, and I think people were maybe a little surprised, but we even talked about this on Monday, Julian's scramble on third down last Saturday was one of the plays that jumped out to me. We know he can throw it wherever he wants, but he stepped up in the pocket, got a first down, and kept the drive alive. Ryan Day was asked about his mobility. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he's got good short area quickness. You can see him move well in the pocket, out of the pocket, and that's helpful because, you know, not everything's going to go exactly according to plan.
Speaking of Sain, here he is on the Purdue defense.
They're very good defense. They're well coached, and they play hard, and they're physical. So it's going to be a good challenge for us. You know, we're going to have to be very sharp in our identification, and you know, be very sharp above the ears, and you know, kind of figure out what's going on.
Do you think this team has fully embraced who it is offensively?
No, I don't believe so, because they're still shortening games to play a 16-game season. So no, I don't believe they have.
Yeah. I was trying to find a like comp in turn, and there isn't really. Purdue didn't play Oregon this year. They haven't played Indiana yet. USC is a team that throws it a little bit. This was all the way back in week 4. USC beat Purdue 33-17 in West Lafayette. Maeva was 17-28, 282 in that game, 10 yards an attempt for his play in that game. Last time out, they did play the Michigan offense very tough. They lost 21-16 in Ann Arbor in that game. And Michigan is struggling to throw the ball right now. Underwood was 13-22, 145. They didn't have their starting running back either, but this is one of those instances where Jordan Marshall comes in. Haynes was out, so Jordan Marshall comes in, 25 for 185, 7.4 a clip. I mean, this is what it is. This is who they are. You should be able to matriculate the ball up and down the field kind of as you wish tomorrow, as long as the elements aren't something. That's kind of the only thing we haven't seen Julian do. He hasn't played in elements. Are there elements over there tomorrow, or are we going to be okay?
I think they'll be okay for the most part. It's cloudy, rains in the forecast, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be anything to really affect.
Yeah.
So no.
Not really.
I mean, because then, really. Then you look maybe a games against Rutgers and Michigan mm-hmm. later in November, but when you get into the playoff, it's all kind of nicer environments. Because if Ohio State does everything, they're getting the bye, and then it's fun bowl sites.
Yeah, and the thing that's so crazy about this Ohio State team, as we shift the attention to the defense a little bit, the defense has been so great that the offense doesn't really ever have to shift into fifth gear. The offense can kind of just chill. They're kind of just chilling in the carpool lane. Like, there's just kind of hang out, stay in it. You're not in a big hurry. You don't have to weave around. You don't have to show everything that the football Ferrari is capable of. Just kind of keep it in fourth, cruise on down the road because the defense is so great. And they have given up no big plays. There's really nothing sustainable that anyone's been able to do on them. And I don't anticipate that changing tomorrow. Here's Ryan on his defense.
Stop the run game, tackle well. You know, at some point, teams are going to try to get the ball on the perimeter. That'll be the same way here with Purdue. They're going to try to get the ball out there. They have some quick guys on the perimeter, so we got to tackle well out there. But if you're doing those things and you're keeping the ball in front, then you're going to force third downs, and then you got to get off the field on third down, and that's it. But, you know, the guys have to keep their focus and concentration because it's easy to get lulled to sleep, and then, you know, a play gets behind them. You saw last week there was a series of sort of eye discipline plays, quote unquote gadgets or trick plays, and yep. I thought our guys stayed very disciplined. You know, they didn't bite the cheese on it, and they kept it in front, and we have to be ready for those types of plays because we know they're coming.
Yeah, Ryan Brown's pretty efficient quarterback, 19 of 24 last week against Michigan, but just threw for 133, so they're not really getting anything down the field, and this Michigan defense isn't in the vicinity of where this Buckeye defense is at this point in the season, although talent equates, it's relatively close. I don't know what Purdue's plan is going to be offensively. I don't know if there's anything that they can lean on or to be able to create. I think this will be even if the offense gets struggled because of something unforeseen, if something's just not clicking, you can always rely on this defense. And I don't see anything on Purdue that gives me any pause for that.
I mean, this for them to have success, and I mean Purdue, it would feel that you spread it out, you go up tempo, and you try to catch Ohio State off guard in situations and hope a big play does hit. You try to find Michael Jackson III and Nitro Tuggle.
Good name.
Are there two playmakers?
Jesse's kid.
So I it's tough to look at this Purdue squad and say they're going to, especially with what, and again, back to the points that you've made, that Ohio State coaching staff has made, it's about this Ohio State team more so than Purdue. And I think that's more the case this week. It'll be the case next week. It'll be the case all the way till you walk up to Michigan, where they're just not going to be able to offer you anything that you've A, not seen before, and B, that you can't handle. And even with Penn State, as they were able to have some success running the ball, Ohio State clamped it up even more so in the second quarter and then in the second half against the Nittany Lions last week. So there's tremendous confidence there should be that that'll be the case tomorrow.
Devin Mockabee, their running back, is a fine running back. He's a senior. He's been there for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of success he can have against Ohio State, though. Ryan Brown, their quarterback, has passed for 1,822 yards this year, 9 touchdowns. He's also thrown 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
Good luck against this Ohio State secondary. And he's also been sacked 14 times, so their offensive line is just okay. Mm-hmm. Good luck against that Ohio State D-line and Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles.
Come on.
I know we do this all the time. I don't know how this Purdue offense scores on Ohio State.
I don't either. And they've also have a bit of an identity crisis. They opened Big Ten play throwing. These are Brown's pass attempts. First four games of Big Ten play, 39, 34, 50, and 40, all in losses. He got hurt in the Northwestern game, but only attempted 10. Then he's back in for Rutgers, 20 and 24. So they were a pass happy team early in the year, and now they've pulled that way back. They're not having success either way, but they are shortening games and they're more competitive the last couple of times out, losing to Rutgers by 3 at home and then losing by 5 to Michigan in Ann Arbor. Get Doug's perspective on this and the college football playoff rankings that dropped on Tuesday, coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air, Heating and Cooling, and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying. It's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, it's Brian at 11:30. We always get smarter with a conversation with our good buddy Doug LeMaurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube, the Substack, Bill and Doug on Ohio State Football, Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com, and he joins on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Look, we know this is all going to sort itself out over the course of the next month in terms of college football and the initial playoff rankings. One thing I always like to do, though, is there an agenda that's being set up? I like doing the Pepe Sylvia. Have you seen? Did you see an agenda? What jumped out at you, if anything, from the first rankings?
They felt like the eye test might be ruling the day a little bit, which makes me just a little nervous. Because then, are you opening yourselves up to just eye testing yourself into the SEC, getting a million teams, right? So, I think the general consensus is that the rankings were pretty okay, right? Mm-hmm. That Iowa was 6 spots higher than in the AP poll. There's Big Ten teams at the bottom there. I mean, it really actually is kind of hard after Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M to figure out who's good, but they just seemed open. I mean, it maybe would have been more reassuring if you're going by what's been earned to have Indiana number one, right? Like, part of the eye test thing is Indiana at Oregon, that's like the best win out there. Mm-hmm. But they kind of just said, we think Ohio State's better. So the issue is, I think Ohio State fans would be excited that I think in a lot of ways, Ohio State's being treated like an SEC team. They're being treated like Bama, but what does it mean for the rest of the sport? So nothing freaked me out, but they got coaches in there grinding film, man, and sometimes if you listen to them too much, it makes me nervous.
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, that's been one of my big talking points this week is there are some issues with the Big Ten. I mean, there are. The television ratings are staggering in terms of who's watching games, and most are watching in the SEC. That conference has dominated the ratings this year, and that there's some real problems. It's schedule, it's expansion, there's a lot of things that led to it, but it is not an Ohio State problem. Ohio State does not have a problem. Yeah. Ohio State is fine, and if anything, the bottom of the Big Ten should not be something that pulls Ohio State down, and it's not. It's almost like the Buckeyes are on their own separate mountain, and then everybody else in the Big Ten is on their in their little mountain range.
I mean, it's on those other teams. It's on Oregon and Penn State and Michigan and Nebraska to be able to tie themselves to Ohio State and be pulled along, right? Mm-hmm. That Illinois, you should have found a way to try to do that this year, try to be competitive with Ohio State, win your other games, and all of a sudden you're in the conversation, and instead you're not. You know, Washington might be, right? Mm-hmm. We could get to the end of the year if Washington has a good November. 24-6 with Ohio State, there's a lot of teams that aren't staying that close with Ohio State. But, you don't want your team to be held back by your conference, but you also want your conference, to be able to be boosted by your best teams. Alabama did it for a decade. Alabama puffed up a conference that wasn't nearly as good as people thought, but the conference absorbed the Saban mystique. You know, the Big Ten just has to do a little more to make sure they can absorb what I think is legitimately becoming an Ohio State mystique right now.
I was a little, not alarmed, but I was surprised at Utah at 13, Doug, and the idea that there are three Big 12 teams ranked ahead of any ACC team, and the Utah one jumped out to me, and here's what jumped out to me. Utah played Cincinnati late Saturday night, opposite the World Series. I had it on two screens. I had the World Series on one, and I had Utah-Cincinnati on the other, so I kept an eye on it. They dominated Cincinnati, who was ranked. That, to me, tells me that committee was paying attention to that. It was the only game on. They saw it late. It was the last impression of them before they went to put out these rankings, because there really isn't anything on Utah's schedule. And I like them. I think Winningham's done a really good job, but they had the full college game day, all of that. There's nothing on their schedule, Doug, that would lead you to believe that they should be ranked ahead of every ACC team and ahead of all of the two-loss Big Ten teams. It just isn't. But they were that last impression, and I think that gave me a little pause for, this committee can be swayed.
I think that's true. Utah basically gave away that BYU game. They outplayed BYU much of the game and kept getting stopped on fourth down, that kind of thing. So it's, but it's hard when it's like, what's Utah's best thing? A close loss to an undefeated team. Well, what's your best win? Mm-hmm. For instance, though, if they're swayed by that, I think, for instance, Northwestern USC tonight is a pretty big game.
I agree.
Because USC, they gassed Michigan at home. They got a pretty good road win at Nebraska last week. Can they, statistically, they have as efficient an offense as anybody in the country, right up there with Ohio State. I think Northwestern's defense is actually pretty decent. USC's been really good at home. If they move up and down the field against Northwestern and people are like, hey, look at these guys and all the committee people, what else are you watching at 9 o'clock on a Friday night? I do think some of those windows like that can matter, even if it's, you know, subconsciously, you're just locked in on a single game and it seeps in. Like a really strong performance by USC tonight isn't just good for them. It can be good for the entire Big Ten, because then they're going to play Oregon. And then yep. if the committee's thinking, man, USC is pretty good. Hey, if Oregon goes and has a good game at Iowa, hey, we think Oregon's pretty good. All of a sudden, the Big Ten's building some momentum.
And that's what you got to do. You got to take care of your business when the stage is presented to you. So, yeah, I'm into that one tonight for sure. I don't recall a November quite like this around here. I mean, now, a lot of this is because Penn State wasn't good this year. But and normally we'd be coming off of an incredible high of, you know, a massive game against Penn State. It just wasn't that. But to be 30.5 this week, my hunch is 21 to 24.5 next week, and then 27 to 30.5 against Rutgers. It's a really weird stretch of games for the Buckeyes leading into Michigan. Do you recall anything quite like this?
No, because it's the other side that pops up when it's like, hey, they're playing Michigan State the week before Michigan. They had the one year they played Penn State the year before Michigan, the week before Michigan one year. Penn State, Michigan back to back. It's like, what is the Big Ten doing here? So if this is the equivalent of like the Citadel, right? I mean, this is the kind of thing where, you know, you're allowing your best team to build up a little bit into the most important game of the regular season. You know, we knew that they had their stretch early, you know, like Illinois, Minnesota, Washington, Wisconsin in a month. That was a stretch early where it's like, hey, this is actually some stuff going on here. And so now you get to this point, it's not like anyone's shocked that UCLA, Purdue, and Rutgers aren't good. So, you know, I mean, it is the kind of thing to me that sort of like in the past, you would look at the SEC and be like, yeah, they're taking care of their guys. They're making sure that their best programs are able to get healthy, get rested, and build up to the stuff that matters most instead of hitting Ohio State in the face with a 2x4 the week before the biggest rivalry in college football. So, it's hard, right? Because you don't want Ohio State fans to be bored for all of November. But on the other hand, do you want to be playing your most difficult games as you're trying to get ready for the game? Like, probably not.
Yeah, it's a byproduct of the Big Ten not playing the hits in the scheduling, though, is what it comes down to, Doug. Because if you look at the schedule that, for example, Washington has, or you look at the schedule that Wisconsin has, I mean, the fact that Ohio State didn't play Oregon or USC this year and next year won't play Penn State, that's where this is coming. And I do wonder if the rubber's going to meet the road on some of this, because I'm not going to redo all of it, but of the 26 most watched games this year in college football, only two were Big Ten against Big Ten. Only two. 21 were SEC against SEC.
I mean, a part of it.
I mean, that's, you know, real.
Some of it,
so they're not playing the hits.
That they've got to, but you know, it's like, part of it is, why are people excited to watch Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss against Joey Aguilar in Tennessee? Like, why is that a good game? But yet, Damon Williams Jr. in Washington and Luke Altmyer in Illinois, like, that game wouldn't get as much attention, right? I mean, some of it is on field. Some of it is this league being able to prop itself up and promote itself, and that you have to play the hits, but you also have to make sure people understand that Illinois Washington's a big game, that Nebraska USC is a big game, and that those are as good or better than whatever thing is being shoved down your throat that you're trying to tell me that I'm supposed to be locked in for LSU Vanderbilt. Why? Garrett Nussmeier, Diego Pavia, why is that better than Jaden Maeve and Dylan Raiola? Right. And I do think it is part marketing. It is part real. It is part ball. Mm-hmm. But yes, what if Ohio State this November, one game before Michigan, was playing Nebraska or USC?
Be better.
Right. that's what you're talking about with the hits. Like, why is that sitting out there? And you have these programs that you've brought into the conference to elevate it, and Ohio State staring down Rutgers and UCLA as the two new teams they're playing in November, and they're not playing Nebraska or USC. I mean, I do agree with you that they've got to lean into that at least a little bit more.
It'd feel totally different if UCLA was USC.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I'm asking for them. That's all I'm asking for. It's not a big ask. All right.
Yep, I agree.
All right, I think we solved everything. Talk to you again next week.
As usual. Thanks, brother. I'll see you.
There he goes. Doug LeMaurice, The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube, and the Substack address, billanddougosu.substack.com, on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Three keys to a Buckeye victory coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. You've talked about the most recent game with adjustments at halftime. Is that kind of a hurried pace, or is it a pace you've gotten used to in any kind of adjustments you have to make during halftime of a game?
Well, if you watch an NFL game, it's a lot faster than the NFL. You know, it's real fast. It's a quick turnaround. So in college, you have a little bit more time because of the bands and things, but it still seems to move quickly. I mean, you have to make fast decisions and adjustments and identify, you know, what's going on. So it's not like you have a lot of time to sit there and watch the iPad and see those things. I mean, you put some things up, you have some things tagged you want to address, you put the script together for the second half, and you go from there, and then you communicate it to the players. So, it does move quickly, and you got to be efficient.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Flight Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Flight Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Ryan, knowing that coaches are always spitballing plays and coming up with ideas, do you find yourself at a certain point in time, maybe at the end of the year, you've got some plays that you drew up that never get used?
Well, yeah, and so what we have to do is so every week, and this is actually going back a couple of years now, we have every pass play on first and second down, and then the third down calls and the red zone calls for each week up on the wall. And so it's however many plays it is, they're all drawn up, you know, on the computer, but the boxes are there. So let's just say there's 25 passes. That goes up on the wall, and it's like Texas week one, and then second week is scrambling, and then it has all of last year's plays too. So when we go through a game plan, we can kind of, it's right there on the wall, and we can use it as a reference. Like, hey man, we practiced this, but we never ran it in the game. And then this is a play that we could install tomorrow, and we body repped it, and the guys know it. And so that's a low investment play because we've already worked it during the season. So we use that as a way to stay organized, to best use, be efficient with our time, especially late in the season.
Okay. This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the new newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota gives you more electrified hybrid choices than anyone else, including the stylish new Corolla, a name synonymous with Toyota quality and dependability, the elegant new Toyota Crown Signia, and the latest edition of the legendary 4Runner. Toyota's extensive lineup also includes battery EVs like the tech-savvy all-electric bZ4X and, of course, the iconic Prius, the hybrid that started it all. That's the power of choice. From Toyota, let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, what will be the result of tomorrow's game between Ohio State and Purdue? That'll be a 1 o'clock kick from West Lafayette. Your options for the Daily Fan Poll are Buckeyes by 1 to 3 scores, Buckeyes by 4 to 5 scores, Buckeyes by 6 or more, Purdue wins. 63% said the Buckeyes are going to win by 4 or 5 scores.
We got Buckeye basketball tonight, too, don't we?
Yep, Purdue-Fort Wayne at 6:30.
Hey, we got a busy day. We got a lot going on here. You got
a lot of Purdue. Purdue, Fort Wayne, too much Indiana
in general. You guys know how I feel about it, certainly. Yeah, all right, time for three things to a Buckeye victory. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Buckeye Lake Marina, Central Ohio's largest selection of new and pre-owned boats. Find your next dream boat at BuckeyeLakeMarina.com.
Put you in a good space. Number one for me, like, be healthy. Get out of it unscathed. It's a Big Ten game. It doesn't feel like it. It's 30 and a half. I think what we've seen here over the last few weeks from the Buckeyes, and you saw it against Penn State last week, is this Ohio State team has gotten to where we thought it, we were hopeful it would get at the beginning. If you go back to the conversation we had in July, August, so much of it, I remember saying so many times, like, this is going to be a spin it around the field offense, and that's what they are. I think that tomorrow you come out slinging it, and you sling it to run it. That's kind of been my recipe for the last month or so, and they followed it perfectly, and I think you're going to see more of that. You've got Heisman campaigns for Julian and Jeremiah, obviously. I think you make sure both of them appease what is necessary to stay in the mix on that, and that it's a bottom-line game where people look at it and go, yeah, Buckeyes are handling their business. I think to do so, you spin it first and then run it later.
Yeah, really the whole key is just to handle your business, and for Ohio State, it limits turnovers. Julian Sain hasn't thrown an interception since a game on September 13th against Ohio University. And that, I think, is the biggest key. That will be the biggest key for the rest of the season. But a turnover kept Penn State in the game for however short of a time it was. Limit them tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium.
First thing for me, and real quickly, bad job out of me. Devin Mockabee is out. He had ankle surgery. He's done for the year. I forgot about that he didn't play last week against Michigan. So they've got a rotation now at running back of Antonio Harris and Malachi Thomas, which is going to make probably their job of scoring points even harder this week. For me with Ohio State, and I know there's not a ton, but ignore the noise. Don't listen to people that say you need to show them you can play faster and hit home runs. Don't listen to people that say you have to run the ball better. I don't understand what's going on with this running game. Don't listen to people that say we need to see this before Michigan. Don't even fall into your own Heisman campaigns, quite frankly. You don't have to prove anything. Just continue to do what you're doing.
I think the cool thing about this team is they haven't bought into any of that. It's like they've had a plan all year, get to December as healthy with the fewest plays, the fewest amount of plays possible while still handling your business. That's been their MO, and they've done it all season long. The only thing that's kind of, and this is my number two, the only thing that's been kind of a little bit of a bugaboo is just the short red zone stuff. We've been hammering it for a month now, this inside the 10, like when it gets, when the field gets ultra compressed. I don't need you showing me something that you haven't shown already. I don't need to see something you're holding for Michigan, but I would like you to be able to line up and run it when other teams know you're going to run it inside the 5 yard line and get touchdowns, however that is possible. So I'll have my eye on that tomorrow. But again, don't break out anything new against a Purdue team you're favored by 30.5 against.
Yeah, this is a game where I fully expect Ohio State. If it limits the turnovers, if it just behaves like an Ohio State football team that we've seen this entire season, you will have time in the fourth quarter to allow Lincoln Keenholz to come in and run the full complement of Ohio State's offense.
Number two for me, and we've seen Ohio State do this a little bit in games where talent does equate, sprinkle the young guys. I'd like to see Riley Pettijohn, Zion Grady, Quincy Porter if he's healthy, Mylon Graham. I'd like to see them some in the second quarter.
A little bit more. Yeah,
let's just sprinkle these guys in. You've been doing a good job of doing it this year. I think you could have even done it against Penn State, quite frankly. But let's sprinkle those guys in there when the football really matters.
I was curious. You mentioned Pettijohn. I know much threes loves him. I wonder where they are with like their redshirt stuff. Like where they, because you get the four games that you can play at any point. I wonder how close they're monitoring all of that, because you have these three consecutive games, which should be all bomb games, and you want to make sure that some of those guys can play in all of them, I would think, is what you would probably want to do. Number three, and finally for me, let's have Max Clair have a day. Homecoming for him. Let's get him a touchdown, get him some targets. I think you're going to be able to do what you want against this Purdue defense, and I think it's cool if a guy... His brother's on the team. I'm sure it was a big deal that he left to go to Ohio State. Everybody probably over there understood that he did, but let him have a big day in West Lafayette tomorrow afternoon.
So we had talked earlier in the show about the last time Ohio State played a regular season game against somebody else other than Michigan in the 1 o'clock hour. Was in 97. They played Bowling Green at Ohio Stadium. It was a 1:30 kick. In that game, Mike Wiley had a 100-yard kickoff return touchdown in the first quarter. Ohio State won that game 44-13. Let's do another one of those tomorrow. A special teams touchdown for the Buckeyes.
Final thing for me, we talked about it. This is kind of the ramp up to Michigan now. So I hate that I'm even saying this, but let's start preparing for it. If there's something you want to see or something you think maybe needs tweaked, let's start working on it. If you want to see if Jaden Fielding can hit a 50-yard field goal, maybe take that chance this week rather than punting or going for it on fourth down. Start doing things to get you ready for that ball game on November 29th. Ohio State has covered the spread in every game but one this year.
Mm-hmm.
This will not be number two. Ohio State 45, Purdue 6.
So I had said the score of that game back in 97, 44-13. Ohio State gets something similar, but less points by the opposition. 45-6 is how I see Ohio State's game going tomorrow with the Buckeyes winning.
Yeah, I'm same vicinity with you. My only ask of them is that I can do three things, like somewhere in the third quarter so I can watch Beamsy play for a lacrosse fall championship around 4 o'clock. That's my only ask. Don't make me have to do three things at 4 o'clock, please. That's my only ask in this thing. I think I'm gonna be able to do it start of the third quarter. I like Buckeyes winning this one as well, 42-7. We're all kind of in the same vicinity here on this. It should be an absolute beatdown. We'll be here Monday to break it all down. Rothman and I's gonna have you covered coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.